Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Kim Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Oh, look at you!
All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here I am. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Our employee was powerful. This is a no-win situation. Give me a call in about an hour and a half. I survived it, and at the end of it.
I'm not insulting you, but I just kept thinking about how it's done.
Yeah.
I was looking at, listening to your show, I don't know, the other day when I was just checking out what to expect. But I said to my husband, I'm going to be Mary Poppins to your Howard Stern.
I just kept hearing it. I was ducking and everything. God, in the house, I got scared. I dropped my hot pocket.
Said, something ain't right. I said, oh, man. She said, oh, man, the building is on fire. I said, no, what? I got my three kids, and we bounced out. We ain't going to be in no fire. Not today.
Brother, it's time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am Brian Hammer Jackson, and this is year two. We're starting a new year, right? We may be changing the format of the show. There'll be new people on this show. Hopefully a new co-host on the show. There's people contacting me, and they look pretty promising. But what we're going to do is we're the number one show in drive time. And if you'd like to come into the show, give your opinion, that'd be cool. The number to call, if you'd like to hear your voice on the air, it's area code 319-527-6099. That's the number, 319-527-6099. That's the number to get your voice heard around the world. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are global. We're going to talk about the news, what's trending, what's on your mind. And this show is not hosted by a left-wing nut job or a right-wing conspiracy nut. It's hosted by me. That's right. The show may not change your life, but we will bring up subjects that you're thinking about and you're free to talk about on the radio. So let's get going. Our number one story, our major story, is about what happened in California. If you looked at the show's heading, you will see crime and punishment. An LAPD officer fatally shot a 14-year-old girl in a clothing store. Yeah, that's what's happening. We're going to get to that story. That's our main story. We're going to also talk about Antonio Brown. Does mental illness give you an excuse to do stupid things? Can you forgive Antonio Brown? Or maybe it's not mental illness at all. Maybe he went out his own way. we're going to hear the debate on Antonio Brown. But, you know, there's always a cost of speaking out, because normal is not in fashion anymore. You crazy-ass bastards who are social media justice warriors, you nut jobs, you idiots, are changing the world. The few of you that are on the spectrum is changing our laws. So we cannot speak out normally like we usually speak out, because we're going to offend someone. And you'll take to social media and you'll start criminalizing the people who are speaking their mind. You talk about freedom of speech, but yet you don't want to hear another side of it. And you people who are yelling about freedom of speech and all this other stuff, you try to silence the majority. And the majority is not going to argue with you, because you guys are crazy bastards. They're not going to argue with you. So your voice is louder, and therefore we're swinging the pendulum to nut city, to conspiracy world, to non-facts world. And we're going to get to that. Speaking of non-facts, conspiracy, and nut jobs, we will talk about President, ex-President, dishonored, twice impeached Trump. We'll speak on that, because he's kind of, he has the nerve to come on January 6th, talk about the Capitol, talk about there was no violence, talk about stolen elections. On January 6th of the anniversary. You know, you got to give Trump credit, though, because Trump is not going to miss an opportunity where everybody and maybe the whole world is going to be listening to the anniversary of January 6th, the coup d'etat of our Capitol building. So Trump will take advantage of that and speak his little mind and try to convince you that it was peaceful, the election was not stolen, and that he should be the president of the United States. Yeah, it's almost been a year, and Trump is still claiming that he should be the president of the United States. So we'll talk about that, too. But first, let's get to our main story. And if you'd like to call in your comments, you can call in anonymously. The number is 319-527-6099. That's the number. Get to the main story. You'll see a running theme throughout this month regarding crime and punishment, and boy, we got a lot of it. I get different victims and murderers and rapists and, you know, those guys. We'll be talking about those guys maybe all month under crime and punishment. And we will be talking about the pharmaceutical companies, and we will be talking about getting boosted. So there's a lot of things we'll be talking about this month under crime and punishment. Let's get to the main story. Here we go. L.A. police officer fairly shot a 14-year-old girl in a clothing store. Let's look behind the scenes, because it's not – the headlines will get you, and I know the police are going to get all ruffled up, and then you got your left-wing people going out in the street because they have nothing to do, because they got no jobs. And you ever wonder when something bad happens – and then there's a protest, and it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and you got 3,000 people protesting something, and you start thinking, don't they have jobs? Maybe they don't. Who cares? But this is what we're going to talk about. And it's really shocking to have Crump, who doesn't speak a lick of Spanish, defending, doing a civil suit with this family, this 14-year-old girl family. You can't tell me that there's not a Latino lawyer out there that can represent this girl properly. And then the other question is, she's illegal. Why does she have a right to sue anybody? She's not a citizen. Does she apply to our laws and our Constitution? If you're illegal, it's like if you're a drug dealer and you go, I saw a segment on what's her name? The old lady and her, Judge Judy. There was an actual case. I saw it on TV that there was a guy suing a drug dealer because he gave him some bad drugs. Judge Judy said, you can't bring this to me. It's illegal. How can I judge? I'm not going to award you some money because you got some bad drugs from a drug dealer. What the hell are you talking about? Now, isn't that the same rules that apply? If you're not a U.S. citizen, what the hell are you doing in civil court? And what the hell are you doing with a lawyer who doesn't even speak your language? This is stupid. He has to use a tape recorder to interpret what the woman said. I mean, there's a lot of things here. And a lot of people are not going to talk about it. You know why they're not going to talk about it? Because you got the little pussies running around being pussified. Because they don't want to hear it. You got the social media nut jobs are saying, oh, everything has to be okay. We got to protect everybody. They're here. No, shut the fuck up. This is America. There's a lot of people who come to America. They do it the right way. And the most people who are opposed to this are the legal Mexican-American citizens. They did it the right way. It took them 10 years to get citizenship. And all of a sudden, you climb a fence, you swim across a river, and boom, you could sue the U.S. government. I don't know. Here's a story. This is, again, the segment is Crime and Punishment. LAPD officer fatally shot a 14-year-old girl. You decide. But there's more to the story. Yes, there is. There's a lot more to the story. And then again, we're going to talk about Antonio Brown, too, so stay tuned for that. And not to mention what's going on with Pfizer. Here we go. Just going to read a little bit of it. You will hear how it plays out in the news in Los Angeles, California. Here we go. Headline. LAPD shooting of a 14-year-old girl sparks a lot of questions and ask about police conduct. Now, I'm no fan of the police, the popo. No, on the popo. I'm not a fan. But you know what? We need them. On this situation, I am siding with the police. That's right, I am. I'm on the police side. Unfortunately, somebody got killed. Okay. You know what? I'm sorry. Maybe if you stayed in your own country, you wouldn't have got shot. You'd be alive today. But no. You had to go clothes shopping. You know? Clothes shopping is a dangerous thing. You ever go shopping with a woman? I'm going to tell you something. Men should never shop with women. Women are dangerous when they're shopping. And men have to know that there might be a risk of a lot of things when you go shopping with a woman. There's a risk of argument. There's a risk of breakup. There's a risk of a lot of things. There's a lot of danger going on when you shop with a woman. Never shop with a woman. A woman has no idea. Men have no idea what's in a woman's head. And if you're a guy and you go shopping with a woman, you're a dead man. That's it. You're a dead man. Why would you go shopping with a woman anyway? But we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later. Women are cuckoo. And we don't understand what goes on in their little tiny brains. They're nuts. But we'll talk about women later. We need them. I love them. I got a woman. I love her to death. She's the smartest woman. She is really smart. I love her to death. Cindy is fantastic. But does Cindy and I get along all the time? Of course we do, because I agree with her. That's it. Men, if you want to get along with a woman, you nod your head, you think, and in your head you go off to a faraway place where it's safe for you, and you just nod your head and let the woman look at you saying, I agree. And you go far away to another land, a manland. Manland where men can do anything they want to and speak their minds. That's manland. But you can't take her there because she doesn't have papers. She has no papers to go to manland. You're safe there. But you got to agree with the woman. If you want to have a happy wife, you got to agree with her for the rest of your life. That's it. Hammer quote. Okay, forget about that. We're going to talk about this. And this is why I agree with the police officers. I'm going to play you, well, I could read a little bit, and then we'll go to the tape and how it's played out in a Los Angeles, California news. But here's a little bit of the copy. Headline. Gave you a headline. Headline says, police union says LA. Now, listen to this. Now, I know you don't like the police union. Who cares about the police union? We know the police union are corrupt. Okay, fine. It's a fox watching the chickens in a chicken house. You know what I'm talking about, the little chickens where they're in the house. They're like a hen house there. House of chickens. And if you have a fox watching it, then you can't really hold the fox accountable for eating the chicken. Can't. All right, so it's a police union. Police union says LAPD officers who shot a 14-year-old was following active shooting training. He was following a training. That's what he was trained to do. You know, this has nothing to do with anything else but police conduct and the training that they endure. There it is. Headline. Nothing more. Nothing less. It's in your face. Now, here's the problem. I'm going to read the copy, but I don't even know. It's a conversation involved, the real conversation that the police got on the radio. That's going to be in the copy. Now, the left wing decides to, I don't know, sometimes they leave things out. I don't know. But the backstory is that they got two calls. And I'll try to pull up the second call. The first call that the police, the dispatch got, 911 got, was there's a man in a Burlington store with a bike chain, a bike, B-I-K-E, assaulting women. I don't know why he's assaulting women. Maybe he went shopping with her. I don't know. Things happen when you shop with a woman and you go cuckoo. But anyway, forget that story. Well, apparently he was in the store and he had a bike chain. And he was terrorizing women. That's an assault. That's what they got. That's what they got on 911. They got that. So the dispatcher is trying to get more information, but her main information is this man is assaulting women with a bike chain. Then another call comes in. And another call comes in and says a man with a gun is assaulting women at the same place, same mall, same area. That call came in. Now the dispatcher says, okay, try to get more information. The woman hangs up. What do you do at this time? So over the radio, car radio, I guess the dispatcher said, man with a gun assaulting women in a mall. That's the call they got. That's the call they got. And when an officer arrived, the man was banging the chain against a cabinet or a counter. And the officer said it sounded like a gun. The force that the chain was hit against the counter, it sounded like a gun. They reacted. They got the message. So they proceeded thinking the guy is armed with a gun. Here's what happened. I'll just read a little bit, and then I'll let you listen to the copy that is played in L.A., California. The police union told insiders Officer William Jones took active shooter training a few weeks prior. There's a spokesperson. His name is Tom Sagnu. He said Jones was following protocols for what he thought was an active shooter. Yeah. Let me tell you something. I have like this citizen app. And in my neighborhood, there was a woman exposing herself. I get it. You know what I'm doing? I'm going outside saying, what? Like most men. And then we find out there's an ugly fat woman, and we go inside, and then we complain on a citizen's app saying, that's bullshit. Now, when you get a policeman responding to an active shooter, he's going to go in, and he's going to protect himself. He has a family. The Los Angeles police officer who fatally shot a 14-year-old girl inside a Burlington Coat Factory dressing room last month had recently gone through mass casualty active shooting training a few weeks before the incident. Tom's a spokesperson for the LAPPL. And I'm assuming LAPPL stands for the Los Angeles Protection Something People League, Public League. I'll find out what it is. He confirmed that Officer William Jones, who shot the 14-year-old girl, her name is Valentina, by the way, and the suspect, his name is Daniel Lopez, he went through the training like he was supposed to do as a police officer. The daughter, unfortunately, her name is Aurella Lana. She was killed when the LAPD responded to the report of a man assaulting people with a deadly weapon in North Hollywood store. That's a city in suburb of L.A., California. Now, the police, they saw the man assaulting a person, and they opened fire while Aurella and her mother were hiding in a dressing room. Okay, there's questions there. Okay, there's a lot of questions there because, one, there was no weapon. Two, he had a bicycle chain. Come on. I saw the video. The guy weighed 125, soaking wet. He was a little cuckoo. You could see his eyes going in a circle like it was some kind of crazy man. But do you really have to shoot him? I mean, you have all this equipment. You have mace. You have pepper spray. You have beanbag things. You have billy clubs. Couldn't you have done it another way? But, again, you don't know about protocol with the LAPD. So anyway, the police saw the guy assaulting a person, and he opened fire. They had no idea the girl was in the dressing room. They had no idea what was going on there. There was no time to search everything. It was only time for reaction. And he did. Segu, he told the insider that while Elena Lopez did not have a gun, some 911 calls suggested he did, and therefore officers responded at the highest threat level. And there's a body camera footage that was released by the LAPD showed multiple colleagues yelling at Jones to slow down. Slow down! They told the officer, slow down! But he was hyper. They said, slow down, motherfucker. But they may not have said motherfucker. But we're going to add the motherfucker in there because it's very pertinent to what I'm saying. Slow down. He was hyper. And don't write me about motherfuckers. Motherfucker is a word. Look it up. People use it all the time. Get a rap record. Motherfucker. Don't get offended by that, you. Anyway, let's go on with the story. So they're telling, so the other officers are saying, slow down, dude. Dude, slow down. What's your hurry? Dude. 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 I'm going to replace dude with motherfucker because dude is more acceptable. Although some dudes are motherfuckers. You got to admit. I got some dudes that I know that are mother. Forget that. So the officer said, dude. Now, he may not have said dude. They said, slow down. Slow down. What the hell's wrong with you? Slow down. Well, Fox reported that Segu told City News Services that part of the footage were being misinterpreted, adding that the calls to slow down were so that Jones could keep alert and scan his surroundings. So when they said slow down, it means, hey, be on guard. Look around. We don't know if there's one or two shooters here. We don't know. Look around. That's what's going on here. Segu also said Jones moved ahead of the rest of the officers because he was holding the long rifle, the firearm that meant to be in front. And we all know Any guy holding something big and long should be in front. That's true. Any man that's holding something big and long, it should be in front. And he should be the first guy in. He should be. It's just man protocol. That's what happened. That's my reading. Now, you're going to get the sound bite of the actual footage that went on. And here's one sound bite according to the story. And here it is. And you be the judge of this. The cops are arriving on the scene now. Dicey and bullshit. I'm calling bullshit. So now we're going to have the victim mother speak. She doesn't know any English. Hey, I mean, I listen to some rap records and I don't think they know any English either. So I'm not going to say here or there. But I'm saying that if she wanted representation, how come there's no Mexican lawyers out there, Latino lawyers out there that can give her a proper representation of what happened? Now, we got to get Crump. Now, Crump is a black mother. Crump is a son of a bitch. This guy is an asshole. He's an asshole. He's in it for the money. He doesn't really give a shit. You know who Crump is. Crump is a guy that crawls out of the rocks, out of his hole, to represent people, high-profile black victims, to get his name in the paper, to do this. He's like Al Sharpton, kind of like he's a sleazy son of a bitch, and he's an African American, but we don't claim him. I think he fell off the boat, and we just picked him up, and we fished him out of the sea and claimed him as an African-American. I don't know. But so he doesn't know a lick of English, but yet he's going to represent her to do a civil suit against the LAPD. Here's where it gets a little dicey. Here's the mother speaking. She's speaking in Spanish. There's no translation, but you'll hear Crump. You'll hear what he has to say about this. Here we go.
Estábamos juntas en el Burlington de North Hollywood en un probador de ropita para la Navidad. Cuando algo impactó en...
Now, for those of you in my audience who don't speak Spanish, as you know, I'm very fluent. I am very fluent in Spanish. I've been looking at the Google Translate and the Babbel thing. So I will translate what she has to say. And here it is. Well, you'll hear her voice, and then I will stop for the translation. Thank you. And here it is. What she's saying right now, for those of you who are not bilingual or bisexual, I will translate. Thank you. What she is saying right now is, we are together at Burlington on and in North Hollywood. This is what she's saying. This is what she's saying.
Junta en el Burlington de North Hollywood.
We were trying on clothes for Christmas.
En un probador de ropita para la Navidad.
That's what she was saying. And that's when the shot rang out. Now, I don't know, and as my computer has stalled on me, I cannot go a little further, but I will get the picture back. But bottom line, Crump was there, and he has a tape recorder. I will try to get the picture back. Translating her Spanish to English and saying that he's representing her and he's going to sue the LAPD. I will get that tape to you real soon. My question is, if you want to come in the studio, even though this is a tragedy and I'm sorry that happened, I'm sorry for the pain that she is feeling, I'm sorry for that, but does she have a right as a non-citizen to use our constitutional laws to have a civil case against the LAPD? And by the way, the policeman who shot her did not shoot her, did not take the shot directly. The bullet bounced off the floor, ricocheted into the dressing room. So now Crump is saying that the LAPD must pay. That is the question. So the question is, if you're a non-citizen, do you have the right to go to civil court? Do you have the right to sue an American citizen when you're not a citizen? You were here illegally. Do you have any rights at all? I mean, morally, yes. But come on. Do you have the right to sue? Especially when it's already, and the LAPD released a lot of footage already. It was an accident. Now, should there be some compensation? We do it with other countries, right? When we in Iran or whatever, when we accidentally kill citizens there by a drone attack, and we actually do it, we do give compensation for the families. So, I mean, that's that line there. I mean, we do it internationally. Should we do it domestically? Should someone have the right to sue the LAPD if they're not a citizen? That's the question. And that's where I'm on the fence. And I will get that footage to you as soon as I can. But the thing that's going on right now that's disturbing, of course, this is, again, social media got up in arms. And now they're calling for the arrest of the officer involved. That's right. They're calling for the arrest of the officer involved. Do you think that's right? Here's a story on that. Check this out. And the story is right now. Here you go.
A suspect at a North Hollywood. They're calling for the arrest and prosecution of the police officer who inadvertently shot a 14-year-old girl to death while confronting a suspect at a North Hollywood Burlington store. Valentina Oriana Peralta was struck by a bullet fired by an LAPD officer as she took shelter in a sitting room with her mother. Earlier today, two crowds of demonstrators rallied outside of LAPD headquarters in downtown LA, calling for the arrest of Officer William Jones.
This 14-year-old child, who should be with her family today, enjoying their holiday. And we demand justice. And the justice we demand is that the district attorney file criminal charges against Officer Jones to hold him accountable for Valentina's death.
The marchers say that at a minimum, they want to see Officer Jones charged with involuntary manslaughter. Jones is on administrative leave as this investigation continues.
You see what I'm saying? Do you think that's right? Now they're requiring, not only they're requiring that the officer be relieved of duty, mess with his pension, mess with his job, his career. They want him fired, but some people want him arrested. This has got, I don't use this word very often, and I don't like to use the word very often, but when something becomes so ridiculous and so stupid, I have to use the word. I don't use the word. I'm a very religious guy and a very humble man, but I don't use the word. But this is goddamn stupid, and it's time for people to fight back with these social media morons. I'm tired of these social media justice warriors ruining good people like me and a lot of other people's lives because they want to speak about he should be arrested. Right. Right. This is what's happening here. This is what's happening here. And the normal people are not speaking up anymore. And I understand normal people are not speaking up because guess what? Normal people laugh at you, other people. Educated people are not talking about, not going to speak up against you morons. You little morons who live your lives, your little tiny lives on the internet, and you type, and you type, and you live in your mother's basement, and she beats you constantly and gives you a cracker. I don't know if she gives you crackers, but I heard they do, and sometimes crackers are good. But you get on the internet, and you start making havoc for the rest of us. It's time for normal people to start fighting back. It's time. It is time to start speaking up and say, you know what? I'm not a fan of the police. Maybe they need to change some stuff. Maybe they need this training. I understand that. I'm not with those people who say we got to defund the police. We ought to defund them. Crime has gone up so much since the pandemic. It is just unbelievable. We got new laws now that used to be $525. You can steal something from a store and you get a ticket. They raise it up to $950, so you get a ticket. It's a misdemeanor because we don't want the jails crowded with people who may come in with the COVID. Meanwhile, crime is going crazy out here. It's just a lawless country right now. And the police hands are tied. And we got these pussy governors and we got these pussy lawmakers doing pussy things. Now, I'm not against pussy. I like pussy. But let me tell you something. When you act like a pussy, I don't like you. And we got to quit kneeling down for these people. We got to. I mean, this is an abomination that this officer is now risking losing his career, losing his pension, losing his everything. And not only that, it's not good enough for these guys in the social media. They want him arrested. For what? For what? He did not point at this woman and kill this woman. He did not shoot her on accident. This is not collateral damage. The bullet ricocheted from the floor into the dressing room. I'm for police to be accountable. Yes, there's way too many. I'm black. There's way too many things that the police do that harass black people, women, brown. And some Indians are running around. I mean, the Indians and the Native Indians are so worried about that they're drunk all the time and they're running around. We got to quit harassing people. I am not for the popo, but fair is fair. And if you want to have a fair society, if you want to have a fair thing, you got to be fair. You cannot do this. So that is my segment on that. And I can go on and on, but I shouldn't. We did it. And here's how it's playing out in Los Angeles, California.
A 14-year-old girl when officers fired on an assault suspect.
Thanks again for joining us here on ABC7, Hulu Live, and wherever you stream. I'm Ellen Leyva. David's off tonight. More on that breaking story now. Just moments ago, the Los Angeles Police Department released body cam footage from the shooting scene at a Burlington store in North Hollywood. A 14-year-old girl trying on quinceañera dresses killed by an officer's stray bullet. Eyewitness News reporter Christian Cordero is live in downtown L.A. with the latest on the investigation and that just-released video. Christian?
Just released, Ellen, and it is 35 minutes worth of video, the store surveillance, the body camera footage, and 911 calls. We want to make sure we get this right. So our team is combing through it right now, really trying to put it into context. But one thing we do want to show you is the moments leading up to the death of that suspect, who what you will not see is other video of him attacking customers. We'll get to a little bit more of that in just a moment, but the officer's camera of his the moments leading up to his death and that of the 14-year-old girl, we want to warn you, this might be hard to watch. Here happened just before noon on Thursday. The LAPD responded to calls from the Burlington in North Hollywood. Officers say when they arrived, they went into the store, saw a man assaulting a woman with some kind of metal object that they described similar to a chain bike lock. At some point soon after finding the suspect, you heard one officer there fire three shots towards him. One of those shots hit and killed that man, who we now know is 24-year-old Daniel Elena Lopez. Another one of those shots went through the drywall past Lopez and hit 14-year-old Valentina Orellana Peralta. She was in the fitting room trying on quinceañera dresses with her mom. Her mother was next to her when she died. Officers have not yet shared who the original victim was, the woman who was being assaulted, but we're told that she went to the hospital with injuries to her head, face, and hands. Now, hours after all of this happened Thursday night, I spoke one-on-one with LAPD Chief Michael Moore, who called this tragic and devastating for everyone involved. He was profoundly sorry for the young girl's life. I asked him about the weapon, specifically whether it fits protocol to shoot, considering the LAPD hasn't recovered a gun.
Way too soon. I'm not going to speculate or make any type of judgment as to the officer's actions. I know that the officers, I do believe the officers were responding to a radio call of a assault with deadly weapon, of shots being fired. The description is one of serious nature, one in which people's lives could be at stake, and officers were responding to stop that threat and to protect people.
That goes into a really important part of this investigation, and as it now goes beyond the LAPD and into the Inspector General and the Attorney General's hands. We have heard, based on those 35 minutes of video that was just released, some 911 calls regarding a possible active shooter. So that's something that we're, of course, going to keep updating throughout the evening tonight. We understand, though, that that officer who fired those shots is on paid administrative leave, which is standard. There's a GoFundMe page and a petition for Valentina and her family. Reporting live near LAPD, I'm Christian Cordero, ABC7 Eyewitness News.
Yes.
Hello, I'm Mark Brown. Get more great ABC.
And that's how it is set on local news here in L.A. You know, we have more coming up. It might be a short show today. I got beautiful family who arrived from Alaska. My daughter and my son-in-law is here from Alaska. And I want to spend some time with them, but I wanted to come on the air with you. And so we got some more stuff coming in. And, you know, when you're from Alaska, you know, the coming to California could be a shock. So we're trying to make the stay a beautiful stay for my lovely daughter and my son-in-law. All right, we'll have more. Our next subject will be, our next topic we're going to be was at Antonio Brown. I got something to say about that. I know we have a couple of people in the studio. I'm not going to take you on the phones right now. Our regular time is 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's right, 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's our regular time. That's why you're not hearing our morning crew. Our morning crew is usually here, but they're not here because they think I'm not on. But I am on, so I'm going to talk to you. The format is going to be changing this week, and we'll be doing a lot of crime and punishment stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I want to talk to. I'm very disappointed in Gazelle case. I mean, she was found guilty. They were the Epstein, Epstein's partner, and I'm glad she was convicted. But those little bitches who took the stand should also be convicted too. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow. I really believe that those little girls, now they're women, those little bitches, they should be convicted too and be sent to jail. And you'll find out tomorrow why I think they should be sent to jail. I got the evidence why I don't know why they're running around free. Because a lot of those girls that took that stand against Gazelle, I think she should go to jail. Gazelle or whatever her name is. But those girls who also took the stand, they also recruited innocent girls too. What about those other girls that they recruited? And they're letting them go. I mean, we're talking about crime and punishment here. These are my thoughts. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Because I got proof that those little bitches should be in jail too. But up right now, we're going to change it to sports. And we're going to take a little break. We're going to change it to sports. Antonio Brown, my man. Now, okay, well, ladies, I know this is a time. I know I got a lot of ratings for women. I see the ratings. I see the women. You guys love me. Thank you. Love you, too. But, we're going to talk about sports, so you girls have to go away. You guys, you ladies don't know anything about sports. We'll tell, but no. I see three people saying, Brian, no. You're a female. You know nothing. You know nothing about sports. This is a man segment here. This is a man segment. No, you do not. You do not know any. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm arguing with somebody on Facebook. It's a woman who says she knows more about sports than some men. We know it's not true. There's sometimes we got to have a man zone. Safety from women because they don't know enough about what we want to talk about. But we're going to talk about Antonio Brown. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a 2 or 3 minute break. And guess what? I might be on Antonio Brown's side. Yes, I think he has a good argument here. And you're going to hear Terry Bradshaw, Tom Brady, and there's some other people that you need to hear about what happened on Sunday. It's a Tampa Bay game. And that's coming right up. We're going to take a short break. If you'd like to call the studio, you know the studio. I am Brian Hammer Jackson. The number is 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you heard. That's the number to get your voice throughout the world. Yes, we are global. And if you still want to talk about the officer shooting, sure. We'll talk about that too. Okay? And then we got Donald Trump. We're going to touch on Donald Trump. We're not going to stay too much on Donald Trump because Donald Trump's a moron. He's an idiot. Talk about mental illness. This guy is the valedictorian of the mental hold. And I don't understand you people who listen to Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump has the ball. You got to give Donald Trump some credit. The man got big balls. I mean, they're hanging balls, and they're probably old balls, but he got some balls. The guy is going to come on January 6th and talk about what happened at the Capitol and convince you that it was peaceful and convince you that the election was stolen. And get this, 71% of the Republican Party believed that the election was stolen. That's 71%. This is why he's so good. He is so good. I don't like Trump, but you got to admire his talents. I mean, this guy is raising money off of a lie, and we know it's a lie, but we still give him money. I mean, this gives a new thing with the emperor new clothes. Screw, come on. Even the emperor who had no clothes was kind of embarrassed and ran away and covered his junk. Donald Trump is leaving his junk out there. The man got the biggest balls I've ever seen in history. In fact, in the presidential history, big balls should be up there number one in front of Washington. What he is going to do is unbelievable. We're going to take a little break. Our next story will be about Antonio Brown. And my thought, I think Antonio Brown is the guy. I think he's the guy. And we're going to talk about that. We'll be right back after these messages. We'll be right back. Oh, I forgot. We have some messages, true messages over the weekend to me. I haven't been on the radio for a little bit. And these are all true messages. These are all true messages. What happens if you're on my Facebook page on Hammer Jackson, you can message me. I'll get it, DM me, PM me, whatever it is, and I'll play it on the radio. And we got some messages. Before we go to break, I will say some of the messages. I'll read some. And these are all true messages. Here we go. There's a couple of messages before we go on the break. Here we go.
Thank you so much for dropping me a line. I must not have gotten to my phone on time. It's either that or I didn't hear it ring. So please leave me a message when you hear the ding.
Ding! We don't have the budget for a real ding, so you get that. Here we go. And when you send me a message, we said it, we've been on the air for a while, and we say it, we keep you anonymously, because if you're on Facebook, especially on my page, we don't want people to come after you. So we do keep your name anonymously, so you feel free to talk about anything. I got a message here. And again, this is from an anonymous person. Her name is Mary. Dear Hammer. Okay. Let me pull it up. Dear Brian Hammer Jackson, hello. My name is, and I can't say it because we're keeping him anonymously, so we're not going to mention Mary's name. So I am blank. I've been listening to your show, and I think it's a great show. Sometimes I think that you're a little hard on women, that you're anti-women, but I still love you, and I listen to you all the time. Your fan, Mary. I am not anti-women. I am not. I love women. I think women are like cupcakes and donuts. You can eat them when you want to, and then you put the stale ones back. I think women are smart, and I think I am not anti-women. I think women are warriors. I think women are fantastic. I think women don't understand men. That's the problem you women have. You don't understand men. And I think that's where we have the problem. But I love women, and I think women are amazing, and I think they're warriors of the world. Thank you, anonymous person, Mary. I got another person right here who's sending me a message.
Thank you so much for dropping me a line. I must not have gotten to my phone on time. It's either that or I didn't hear it ring. So please leave me a message when you hear the ding.
What's up, Brian? Please use my screen name if you're going to mention me, because I know you keep things anonymously. Okay. My name is Big Gun. Okay. Here's my message. I listened to your show 2 weeks ago, and you used the N-word a lot. You should have more responsibility on the radio and quit using the word N-word. I hear you talking on the radio. I know you're a black guy, but you use the word N-word too much, and then you defend white people. You defend white people more than you defend black people, so that means you're an Uncle Tom. This is your fan, Big Gun. All right. I know you're listening. First of all, I don't use the N-word. I use the word nigger. Nigger, 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 nigger. And listen, you, I'm going to tell you something. What's wrong with you niggers out there is that you're uneducated. You're uneducated. That's what's wrong with you niggers out there. I am a champion of niggerdom. That's right. What I'm saying is if you are completely happy being an uneducated fool, then be an uneducated fool. But what I'm going to do is give you information. And I'm going to tell you this. Recently, I went to the doctor, and the doctor recently saw me. And what the doctor said was, hey, you got high this and you got high this. And I go, okay. And what the doctor said is that you're African-American. I go, hey, you're a good doctor, because he knew I was African-American. Who knew that? But he was seeing me, so I knew he was a good doctor. And he says, when you look at African-Americans, they have a high rate of this, high rate of this, high rate of this, opposed to Caucasian people. And I took a look at that. I go, are you serious? And he goes, yes. And I'm thinking, why is that? It's because niggas like you don't go to the doctor. Niggas like you do not go with your diet. Niggas like you do not take care of what you should be taking care of. And you should be healthy, and you should stop the food that you're eating, and you should take more care of yourself. We, as black people, don't take care of ourselves. We don't go see the doctor. God forbid we see a dentist. Oh, my God, we run to the hills. But we got to start taking care of ourselves. And we got to start changing our diet. And we got to stop falling into this old thing about slavery this, slavery that, and using that as an excuse, and using white people are doing this to us. White people aren't doing fuck to us. You know who's doing it? Black people. Niggas. Those are the ones who are doing damage to the African community. And if we quit listening to stupid-ass fools like you, we will have a better society, and African American men and African American women will have a better chance of life and longevity of life. And that includes vaccination, please. If you look at vaccination, the black people don't get vaccinated. Why don't we get vaccinated? Because we don't trust the government. Guess what? White people don't trust the government either. But we got to get vaccination, and we got to understand what our health is and look at the science. So look, I think you're a dumbass. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you very much. Hope to talk to you soon. All right, we're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back and talk about Antonio Brown. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network. I'm Brian Hammer Jackson, and we'll be right back in about 3 minutes. I need to take a break, you morons. All right, I'll be right back.
Gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. And as I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street. Not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? I saw the disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man show. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one yet to know.
See, 'cause we got no place to be. That's why.
You're listening to Hammer, Brian the Hammer Jackson on Hammer Radio Network. 111, you're live on the air with Brian the Hammer Jackson. You're live on the air with Brian.
Hey, Happy New Year, my friend.
Are you kidding me? Is this who I think it is?
Yeah, my boy.
Benny?
What's up?
No, it's
Wait a minute. Okay, I got to verify. Who is this?
Hotep.
Hotep, you son of a bitch. Happy New Year.
Oh, I sound
Hotep.
Like someone else?
Hey.
You do. Hello, you sound like
doing?
An old friend of mine named Vinny. You
hey,
really
do you owe him
have
money?
Me.
If so, I'll take it.
No, I don't owe him money. Vinny will come and break my legs. Happy New Year,
oh,
my
he's
friend.
Oh, he's Italian.
He's Italian.
I'm good. How's your New Year?
My New Year is good. One second, Hotep, don't go away, because
okay.
I want to talk to you about the police. You and I are going to have a difference of opinion about
the
police
sure.
story.
You're about to beat me up.
I'm not going to beat you up. I'm going to listen to what you have to say, and what you
okay.
say is wrong, but I'm going to still listen to it. So hold on
then
for
you'll
one
beat
second.
Me up when I'm wrong. Okay.
Yeah, then I'll beat you up and kick your ass. One second.
All right, bro.
One second. Hi, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson. Who is this? Hello?
Hey, this is Hotep.
We got another 111. 111, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson and Hotep. Good morning. All right, well, let them stay on the air. They're there. Maybe they can't talk to you at work. Hotep, I want to talk to you about do you know the story that I just ran?
Mm-hmm.
The situation was, and if you know it, stop me, because I don't. The situation was that the police got a call to a mall.
Yeah,
bottom line, they got a call that a guy had a gun, but they found this guy with a bike lock.
Mm-hmm.
They shot the guy. But one of the bullets ricocheted off the floor, went into a dressing room, and killed a 14-year-old girl. Now, the 14-year-old girl is an immigrant. She's not a legal citizen of the United States. Now, the bullet hit the floor, ricocheted in a wall that she was behind, killed her. There are people saying that this guy's job should, he should get fired. He should get sued. Some people are saying he should be arrested. What are your thoughts, Hotep? And Hotep, they got Crump. And you know Crump, the black attorney? Crump is representing this woman. I think she's from Guatemala. She doesn't know English, so he has to interpret what she has to say through a tape recorder. What are your thoughts, Hotep?
That if we're thinking fellow humans, then all lives should matter. And the All Lives Matter movement should be up in arms on behalf of the young lady. If we're thinking training how to shoot a gun, there should not be a ricochet off the floor if you know how to shoot the gun. So that's two strikes
right.
we would like to think against the offer. And if we're thinking protecting children, and there's a third strike, because maybe if someone's over age 18 and they're at least they're an adult, one thing, but the court has certain processes in place to protect children. So I would think that's three strikes. However, I get the impression that one group is going to be possibly some of my friends, I won't call any names. One group is going
right.
to be defending the officer, and another
right.
group is going to say this is a tragic crime that the person should be punished that shot, and the police department, for allowing it and having standard operating procedures in such situations that allow the cop to shoot. And I didn't know that the man didn't even have a gun. I thought he had a gun. He had a bike light, you said.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
So any Karen could call, hey, Hotep and his homies have some guns. And,
you're absolutely right. You brought up a point that is really – the guy did not have a weapon. And shouldn't that woman who called in saying that he did have a weapon, shouldn't she be arrested for doing a false police report that caused the death
Life
of this woman?
Love. Yeah, that's crazy. Crazy.
That is crazy. That is nuts. So
hey, Hammer, there's a problem. There's a bigger problem with law enforcement. I do martial arts,
Right.
I never go into situations I've never killed anybody. I've been in situations where I've been threatened with weapons by gang members, including law enforcement and by street gangs, and I've been with some Italian folks just in meetings about their business, and I never hurt anybody. Well, not true. I have had to punch and kick and choke a few people in scenarios, but I didn't kill them. So now imagine an officer that has the badge, more training in shooting, the protection, the bulletproof vest, I mean, backups, walkie-talkies, da-da-da-da-da, right? How is it that some of them are killing innocent people? It just seems very irregular, very unpredictable, and really immoral and unethical, and it should be illegal.
I mean, on one hand, I kind of agree with you, because when you arrive on a scene, if you did not see a gun, if you did not see a weapon, as they said, okay, there seems like there should be other means of subduing this criminal or this suspect. But to right out shoot him, because if you listen to the tape, they were hyped up. They were really hyped up, and that guy was just saying, I saw a subject who was bleeding. I see a guy with no shirt on. He has a weapon, bam, 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 but you did not see a weapon. Why? How does that happen? I mean, I do hold him accountable for that. But then again, the way that accident happened, that a bullet ricocheted from the floor into his dressing room, you got to just say, okay, accident. Maybe there should be some restitution on that. But to hold him accountable for murder or to lose his job, I don't know, Hotep. I think collateral damage, part of it is with the job. What do you think?
No, I agree at all. I don't think we can chalk up a young lady's death to the collateral damage of the job. I think he should pay the price, definitely should lose his job. And more argumentative, there's more argument for him not going to jail, but he should definitely lose his job and not be allowed to be in law enforcement or security anywhere in this nation. Maybe if he wants to move to, you know, Timbuktu and be an officer there, cool, we'll give him a badge and he could go over and then we'll help them to protect themselves against him. No, he should pay some kind of price. Otherwise, she lost her life. And actually, the young man that had no gun lost his life also. He could have been going through a mental health crisis, or maybe the person attacked him and he defended and he bloodied up the person. In other words, we make all these decisions, life and death, without even a court. So it's a summary execution without trial. So we're back to lynch mobs. Only the lynch mobs have badges and they can decide to kill if they're psychopathic, sociopathic, or unfair. Imagine an officer is fearful. He has to get home to his wife and he's like, you know what, I'm not taking the chance. Bow! Shoot first, ask questions later.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go to the second situation. Crump, who is a high-profile black attorney who's usually, you know, his work. I think he represented a lot of people. God, there's so many I can't even think of, but you know who I'm talking about.
I think George Floyd's family.
He represented George Floyd and also a lot of other people who were shot by police officers. Now, he is this woman's attorney. He doesn't even speak the language. He is trans. How do you feel about that? I mean, you think he's out for a quick buck? I mean, come on. You don't even have a second that at least has somebody who's bilingual on your staff that understands what's going on. But at the press conference, he didn't even understand anything she was saying, but he had to listen to a translator. How do you feel about that? What do you think about what's going on?
Well, I think when it comes to law, even if we all speak English language, law is often another language that we don't understand. So the argument, I don't think, can be that if we don't understand the language English or Spanish, that we can't be a good lawyer. I think he is so exceptional and has built such a great brand that people will come to him even if they speak Martian, because he is likely to get you some level of justice. It would have been good if, of course, a Spanish-speaking lawyer may have had his type of credentials. But then again, if we remember that he has represented some of the major black victims of brutality. So it's a great strategic and tactical move to get him, because then you could piggyback off the death of many other, what I would call, innocent black people and get even more empathy as opposed to trying to go with a lawyer who has dealt with mainly white victims, where you may be less likely to get as much sympathy and empathy, even though some Anglo whites do empathize. You're more likely to have a black person empathize. Plus, we're a closer group because Latinos went through the same exploitation by the Spanish and the English as we did by Spanish and English and other groups. So I think it was a good move, and I think he's doing a great job.
Well, and then the other factor, do you think she has the right to sue even though she's not a citizen? Do you think she has the right to have the Constitution umbrella and have the right to go to civil court to sue the LAPD or sue any kind of government agency under the other the United States when she's not a citizen? She's illegal. Does she have the right?
Well, she has human rights, and those human rights are covered.
Human rights, Constitution.
Yeah, but
Constitution still has slavery.
Well, everywhere we go as humans, whatever nation we're in, there's something called Human Rights Declaration, et cetera, cover it. So even if you and I made a trip and you paid the airfare and hotel, I'll buy the drinks, of course, and we went to Hawaii. No, that's a bad example. If we went to South Korea, right?
Right.
That we have human rights. So the South Koreans can't just say, or the North Koreans even, hey, listen, we're going to slap you up, throw you in jail because you're not a civilian resident, or not a resident, a citizen of our nation. We can say, yeah, but we have human rights. And you see that a lot with lawyers who specialize in human rights law who make sure that you don't go to a nation and they beat you over the head just because you don't have their citizenship. So, no, she has some human rights. It'll be hard to fight on the civil rights part, but definitely on the human rights part, she would definitely have a stronger case.
Well, okay, I agree. And I did have an example, like if we have done things criminally in other lands and internationally, in Iran, Iraq, whatever, we do pay restitution of some of the stuff. Obama was with the droids, oh my God, it's a new year, you know, the drones, and he has killed a lot of innocent people with the drones. But we have given that family restitution, even though they are not United States citizens. You agree? So if you're going on that part, I maybe agree with you.
And remember, the good points you raised, remember also that we may be giving some of the so-called Hispanic families that were separated at the border, I think about $300,000, $400,000. That's, I think,
right.
We negotiate. But if you think about that, you say, well, wait a minute, this continues that path. Hey, they weren't even killed, most of them. I don't know if any of that were
right.
killed. So if this girl was killed, then definitely, hey, precedent here. We're willing to give
right.
$350,000, $400,000 to a family that was divided at the border. Well, here's a girl that was killed in the country, not at the border. So, yeah,
right.
She's going to get some kind of victory. But, of course, she's dead. It's done.
Yeah. Well, she should. I mean, I'm not a cold-hearted bastard. She should
no,
get
not all
some kind
way.
Of not all the way. She should get some kind of, but going as far as getting this guy fired and getting him arrested, the police officer, and damaging his career. I mean, remember, the bullet ricocheted from the floor to the dressing room. He did not point his gun at this innocent woman in the dressing room. It ricocheted. Aren't you going to give him a little bit of a pass on that? It was an accident.
No, because if I'm surrounded by people, some are innocent. My punches and kicks aren't going to hurt other people, nor if I hit someone will the other person hurt them, because I'm going to analyze the scenario and see what direction, what intensity, whether I should punch or kick or whether I should just trip the person or take them to the left or whether I should poke them in the eyes, and that's just me. If I were law enforcement,
right.
I would have had even much more training, and I would be doing this every day of the week and going to special programs and being flown, if I was the best, outside the country for even more training. No, I don't think he should get off with this. If you had a martial arts instructor, you sent your daughter or niece to a class, and he was sparring with a student, and he ended up killing her because the student he was rough with and broke her neck, it would be
right.
the same scenario. The student is trying to fight him. The student is mad at the sensei, old sensei, grandmaster, and comes up, curses him out, and someone claims the student has a gun, but the student only has a gi, the belt in his hand, and, you know, it's the same scenario. No, we have to draw a line. It doesn't matter ethnicity, language, linguistics, socioeconomics, religion, sexual, gender preference. It's really skin color. Either. It's really is something right or wrong. And what sometimes happens is because of our biases and how we were brought up or what we see in media or films or courts, we all have this tendency to, you know, not consider one group's pain the same for different reasons, and it's not really our fault. It's a larger system that programs us like this. We're not born like this.
But what you're insinuating is dangerous. You're saying that white people's pain is different than black people's pain, and that
I was saying the opposite. No, I'm saying the opposite, that all people's pain should be equal, but the problem is that when one group that is considered lower or inferior, consciously our brain doesn't see them as, for example, they're not a citizen. Therefore, they came from Guatemala, Venezuela. You know, it's not as big a deal. But if we went to Guatemala, Venezuela, Brazil, and one of our American ladies was killed because one of their cops shot at someone and the ricochet, we would have... the whole world community would be up in arms, and we might have nukes ready to drop on the nation. So,
you're right there. Hold on, Hotep, hold on. 323, you're live on the air with Brian the Hammer Jackson. Do you agree with Hotep?
I just want to say it's nice to have you back from your summer vacation, Brian, because I know that, you know, you must have gone to Guatemala. So how was it?
Thank you, Joe. It's nice to be back. You guys miss me? I appreciate it.
No.
Hey, Brian,
no.
Joe and I were on a radio show, and we got along. You remember, Joe?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well,
I hung up like, it's a new year.
You really?
Joe is my new
year. I know.
First person I thought of was Brian. I said, Brian won't believe this. We were all nice and decent, and it was almost like, hey, you coming over? I'm like, sure, I'm down the road, Brother Joe.
That's
you
right.
Guys got along.
You know, I gave him some tea.
He gave me
he
some
gave
props.
Me some cocoa.
I gave him some props. No, for real, on radio. This is amazing.
I forgot what show it was, but yeah. I forgot what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, but it was
you're
interesting.
Thanking me
it was
for
a good
being
show.
Back, though. That's where you were.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, I didn't hear you.
I said you were thanking me for being back. That's where you left off.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where I left off? Oh, so how was your summer vacation? Because I haven't seen you in a while.
Well, I wanted to spend more time with the I wanted to spend more time with the family. You know how Cindy is so demanding. You know how Cindy is.
Oh, she must be there. Otherwise, you would have said that.
Yes, yes.
She's probably right there at her PC. She's saying, oh, Jesus,
he really
he's back.
Oh, fuck.
Hey, Joe, but you know, we're talking about this subject. I don't know if you heard about there was a shooting happened in California. Apparently, these cops were called to a mall. They got the call that the person was armed with a gun. They found the guy. They shot the guy. Well, one of the bullets hit the floor, ricocheted into a dressing room, and killed a 14-year-old Guatemalan girl.
Right. Okay. I didn't
now
hear about
calling
it.
Now they're calling for the policeman's job. They're calling for him to be arrested. They're calling for him for a lot of things. So the subject is, even though she's illegal, does she have any rights under our Constitution? They have a lawsuit against the LAPD. And should the policeman be reprimanded for what happened as an accident?
Okay, now that's a good question. I'm going to have to defer to Sarge the next time he comes on the show because, you know, he'll know more about it than I would. He would have investigated it. He would have found precedents. He would have found court cases. And he knows about police procedures. I happen to think that at January 6th, when the cop pulled out the gun and shot Ashley Babbitt, that the cop was probably within his jurisdiction to do so because they had a brick. They were breaking down the door. I think it was the door of the chambers. I don't remember. And if they had broken down, I would have presumed they would have, you know, tried to kill the cop, because if they had the brick to break down the door, they weren't going to go in there to say, you know, hi, how are you? But Sarge had a different opinion. He said, according to the training and to certain court cases, had no right whatsoever to pull out his gun at that time and to shoot through the door. So since I don't know this particular case, I'm going to have to say I don't know anything about it, and I'm not going to give an opinion, okay, other than, if you were to tell me that the cop shot at the guy who had the gun, and he did so,
they shot the suspect. First of all, right. The suspect did not have a weapon, so we're not going to go into that deep of it. We're not going to go to that wormhole. But the bullet that ricocheted from the floor ricocheted into the dressing room wall where there happened to be a 14-year-old girl and her mother there. So it ricocheted into that dressing room, went through the wall, killed the girl, 14 years old, which is an accident. But now social media and everybody is calling for this cop to lose his job, to be sued, and possibly arrested. I'm not on policeman's side most of the time, but I'm thinking it was an accident. He did not point that gun in that dressing room. The bullet ricocheted off the floor into the wall of the dressing room and killed that girl.
Right.
So
I'm thinking it. Is he allowed to shoot while there are people around? If he is, then he'll probably get off. If he's not allowed to shoot and there's a lot of people around, then he'll probably get at least some kind of involuntary manslaughter. I'm guessing.
Remember,
I don't know.
Remember, in Nazi Germany, there were laws also, meaning in every nation there are laws that we're supposed to uphold, but then there are also human rights. And the human rights of the Jews and the mentally challenged and the blacks and even some religious groups in Nazi Germany were violated. So I don't think we can always use laws of a land to say, well, hey, if it's on the law, too bad for you, because our children are important. And if any of our children were shot like that, I don't think we would accept it. But also we have to look at what happened. They should have confirmed whether or not there was a gun in the first place. You don't just call up and say, hey, so-and-so has a gun, and then they come in. That's the Wild Wild West that we're in 2022.
Right. I do agree. And we're going to go to sports now. I know you're a sports fan, Hotep. Joe, I know you're a sports fan. You guys saw it, right? You saw what happened with Antonio Brown. You saw it. You had to see it.
Are you talking about the transgender who won by 38 seconds? And by the way, I'm going to agree with Hotep about laws.
Wait a minute. How did you get transgender from Antonio Brown? Antonio Brown is not a transgender. How did you get that?
Oh, I don't know. I figured your show is going to be about transgender. You know.
You missed. Joe agreed with me. Come on, let's get this going, Joe. We're close to, you know.
Yeah. Because I always said that I didn't give a shit about
community again. I mean, you know, that's fake.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you really.
I like you give
a
shit.
Those little fucks. Let me tell you something. There is no such thing as a transgender. We used, in my day, we called them cross-dressers. That's where they were. I'm not going to go down that wormhole with you, Joe. See, Joe, this is what you do. You get me in trouble.
Right. Like I just finished saying, like, you give a shit about your one transgendered fucking audience. So, yeah. But I was.
Hey, my one transgender audience speaks loudly.
Probably because she's about 6'4", weighs 250 pounds. So that's why.
With a huge Adam's apple.
Love her to death. She may have a penis, but she's all woman to me. I'm going to write that song as a country western song.
Okay, and don't forget to show the tape on Epstein's Island about you and your love to me, too.
We'll talk about that. But, no, do you know who Antonio Brown is? Antonio Brown is a white
man. No.
Okay. Antonio Brown, I think he's a wide receiver. God, I'm so tight. He's a wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He had some problems, mental problems with other teams. So Brady spoke up for him to be a wide receiver. So he was. They're playing. Tampa Bay was playing this Sunday. Here's the story. They can explain it to me. They can explain it to you better. Here's Tom Brady explaining what happened Sunday. Here we go.
Sir, you come up big.
I got two things going on. Wait, hold on. Hold on. I can't find the
other
you're
one. Back.
Hold on. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's
okay, here's Tom Brady.
Situation, and, you know, I think we all want, you know, him.
Here we go. Here's Tom Brady explaining what happened.
Tom, you mentioned Searle, and he's come up big. He had to today. He just didn't have Antonio Brown the second half, most of it. How disappointed are you? Bruce Arians said he's no longer a Buck.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously a difficult situation. And, you know, I think we all want, you know, him to you know, just think everybody should find, you know, hopefully do what they can to help him in ways that you know, he really needs it. And, you know, we all love him. We care about him deeply. You know, we want to see him be at his best. And, you know, unfortunately, he won't be with our team. But, you know, we have a lot of friendships that will last. And, again, I think the most important thing about football are the relationships with your friends and your teammates, and they go beyond the field. And, you know, I think everyone should be very compassionate and empathetic toward, you know, some very difficult things that are happening.
Hello, Jenalee.
Hey, Tom, I'm sure there's so many questions that still have to be answered. How challenging was it, if it was, for you guys to focus while that was all transpiring and transpiring very quickly?
You know, the guys that were in the game, you know, we're in the game focused too, so I didn't know too much until after the game, to be honest. So, you know, I was just out there playing, trying to do my job.
Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but that's Tom Brady. Have you seen Tom Brady lately? Does he look – he got some work done. He looks more like a girl than I ever seen him before. What do you think? I know he got some work done.
No, I haven't.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. He looks like a girl. I mean, I'm looking at Tom Brady. He doesn't look like the same Tom Brady that he – about 5 years ago had him – he's more girly.
Are you referring to you looking late at night in the shower or no?
No, I'm
just... I'm just trying to figure out. We just want to make sure.
No, I'm serious. If you look at Tom Brady, he looks more like to be more like a girl each week. His features are... He had some work done. He just doesn't
maybe
look...
Maybe he's
going to
be a Bruce Jenner.
He might be a Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he's
Athena Brady.
There's that transgender thing again. Yeah, so you
it's
can't keep
transgender.
Away from
it. I think Tom Brady's turning into Marsha Brady. I'm just looking at this.
That's what I mean.
I have no idea what's going on. Here we go. Here we go. So here's the story. Here's the story so you can catch you guys up on it. And then Terry Bradshaw is in trouble because he made a comment about Antonio Brown becoming mentally ill and he needs to take care of what he needs to do. And I think he's right. And Joe, I'm hearing some feedback. And
oh, you
back.
Got feedback? All right, let me call back again.
All right, buddy.
For some reason, this app is starting up on me. I'll be right back.
Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break because Joe's coming back. I'm going to take a little break, and we're going to talk about what happened with Antonio Brown. And if you want to discuss Tom Brady becoming Marsha Brady, that's on the discussion table, too. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network. We'll be right back. Don't you go away, Hotep, because I got some more news for you. I need your help. We'll be right back.
And the winner is MC Hammer.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
music hits so hard, make me say, oh my Lord, thank you for blessing me with a mind to rhyme and to hype me. It feels good when you know you're down. A people don't hold away from the Oak Town, and I'm known as such, and this is a beat, you can't touch it. I told you, homeboy, you can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living, and you know you can't touch this. Look at my eyes, man, you can't touch this. Yo, let me bust the funky lyrics. Fresh new kicks and bands. You got it like that. Now you know you want to dance. So move out of your seat and get a fly girl and chase this beat while it's rolling. Hold on. Pump a little bit and let them know what's going on. Like that. Like that. Pull a little bit, just fall on back. Let them know that you're too much. And this is a beat they can't touch. Yo, I told you. You can't touch this. Why you standing there, man? You can't touch this. Yo, sound the bell. School is in, sucker. You can't touch this. Give me a song, a rhythm, making them sweat. That's what I'm giving them now. They know. You're talking about the hammer. You're talking about a show that's tight and tight. Fingers are sweating so fast in my white bar tape. Two words. What's it gonna take in the 90s to burn the chart? Legit. Either work hard or you might as well quit. That word, because you know you can't touch this. You can't touch this. Break it down. This. Look, man, you can't touch this. You better get a hype, boy, because you know you can't touch this. Ring the bell, school's back in. Break it down. Stop. Hammer time.
During the break, I do look at Facebook, and I do see your messages, and you made a comment about me, and I'm going to read it. I normally don't read your comments because they're asinine, but there's some good ones, and I only read the bad comments. So I'm going to read this because you are listening right now, and as soon as I find my message thing, I'll play it. Well, basically, I can't find my message thing. I'm going to play it anyway. Somebody asked a question, it's a woman, about my relationship with my girlfriend. Here's the question. Hello, Brian. I'm listening to the show. How does your girlfriend put up with you and your craziness and your insecure way? Is it insecure? Okay, you misspelled it. And your insecurities. I'll tell you, My girlfriend is just as crazy as I am. Thank you. No, she's a lovely woman. She's a very smart woman and a very lovely woman. Not like you, because by you saying that, it tells me you're a bitch. And she's not a bitch like you. But keep on listening. I love to hear it. Love me. And now we go on with the show. We got Joe in the studio, and we got Hotep in the studio. There you go.
Hey, Hammer.
Yes?
The person's comment is odd because each of us comes to the table with certain positives and challenges, and I keep coming back to the show because you're easy to get along with, and you have a sense of humor, and of course we're dragging out that comic side that Joe loves so much. The other stuff, some of the comments you make that some of us may find, well, me, I may find, okay, that was over the top. I don't take it as seriously because I know how you are. So I'm like, okay, this is Tama expressing. Sometimes he goes, in my opinion, way over here, but it's not something that I would then say I wouldn't want to be friends with him. So now, in the female perspective, I'm sure your lady feels the same way. Say, of course he's outside the box on some issues and da-da-da, but I still love him. And so the female that responded may not understand the depth of such relationships and may have a more limited scope. So, you know, there are people like that. They can't, well, how can she, she's talking like she's your girlfriend.
Right.
She's not, you know?
You're right. You know, with my girlfriend, I respect my girlfriend immensely. I think the world of her. I think she's one of the smartest people I've ever met. She puts up with my craziness, and I find that very charming of her. She understands I have mental illness, and she loves it. I think she likes to take care of me and medicate me every evening. I think that's just, that's her quest for life. But she is a great person. But, no, I respect my girlfriend more than anything in the world. That's it. Closing. And but if you want to come at me, come at me. I'm fair game, man. I'm like a target running around waiting to be shot. But thank you, caller, for concern about my girlfriend. She's very happy, I think. And that's it. She ignores me. That's how we get along. She ignores my silliness. She ignores
all
this
stuff. Now you're getting to it. There you go. That's the reason. That's the solid part of your relationship. See? Now you're getting down to nitty-gritty.
Joe, are you defending Cindy? You have never defended Cindy before. Are you going to defend Cindy?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you say she ignores you and that's how you two get along, I can understand it. You know.
That's exactly how it is. She's pretty smart. That's exactly how it is. She ignores me. All right.
How is she? I haven't spoken to her in a long time. So is she okay?
You want to say hello? Let's say hello.
Since it's New Year's, okay, I'll say hello. All right.
I
hope Hammer say hello.
I hope Hammer isn't untying her.
You got to untie her first, Brian.
He's like,
Brian.
Take her from the basement.
Saying hello to you.
Hi, Joe.
Cindy, did he untie you for you to come here? Because you sound like you're not out of breath or anything. So how are you doing? Happy New Year.
I'm really well. How about you? Happy New Year back.
Thank you. I'm doing fine. We were talking about you, you know, we were saying, you know, how should Brian rate, you know, his girlfriend? And he said, well, on a scale of 1 to 10, not bad. So so that's how you've done well then, I mean.
I'll get even with him later, Joe. Thanks for letting me know.
Oh, no problem, Cindy. No problem.
Okay. I am back to work.
But Cindy, he did say you're an amazing person on the air today. So.
Thank you.
No, in actuality, he did. You're ushering her out of the room? Oh,
yes,
okay.
I am.
All right,
she
that's the case.
No, she said she's going back
I
to work.
I have time. You know, Joe, you're always trying to get me in trouble. It's not working this year, buddy. Cindy is immune to this.
You want to back, put her on again.
Okay. Get back to Antonio Brown. Seriously. Here's what's happening. Here's what's happening with Antonio Brown. Here's the story. And I really like you guys to weigh in on this. Oh, my God, I lost the story.
Well, you're back to form. Oh, boy.
Here it goes right here. Let me just tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Brown's action caused a lot of reaction among the NFL. That's what he did. If you saw what happened at Tampa Bay, you know, on Fans on Sunday and Fox and everything, Brown took off his jersey on the sideline, threw his gear into the stands, exited the Sunday, January 2nd game between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New York Jets. He is no longer part of the Bucs and didn't fly home with the team. Bradshaw sounded off on Brown's deeper issues in a strong way. So bottom line, let me just recap what happened. Apparently the coach told Antonio Brown was time for him to go in and called his play. Antonio Brown wouldn't go in. The coach said again, time for you to go in, we're calling your play. Antonio Brown refused. The coach says, okay, you're off the team. Antonio Brown says, fine. So what he did was he took off his gear, his shoulder pads, all of his gear, his jersey and everything. He threw it down on the bench. This is during halftime. The cameras were still on, still rolling. Antonio Brown then went on the field while the two teams were still there. He threw up his jersey and threw it in his stands. He gave a peace sign, and he danced out of the stadium. And when he got outside, there was a limo there, and he went off. He just left. That's what happened at halftime. That's what happened. Everybody was shocked and everything. And so Terry Bradshaw got a little bit in trouble for what he said. This is what Terry Bradshaw said during this segment because he was watching it too. This is what he said.
And it's just him because he's not going to reach certain goals on the routine to get his bonus money of $1 million. There's no altercation, and it's just him tripping off because he's not going to reach certain goals on the receiving to get his bonus money of $1 million. Then they need to put him in a straight jacket and take him straight to some hospital and get him analyzed.
Okay, that's what Terry Brown said after he saw it. He said they should put him in a straitjacket and take him to some hospital, get him analyzed. Terry Brown said that after what happened. Well, social media lit up, and they went after Terry Bradshaw. This is what Michael Strahan said. Well, Michael Strahan just did a thing. You can't see it. He took off his jacket, did the same thing as Tony O'Brown from the set. The peace sign went off the set. It was funny. It was a bit. But now we get into the social media people, and here's what they do. Recognizing the seriousness of mental illness issues, multiple NFL fans called out the analyst, meaning Terry Bradshaw, actions on social media. Mental health issues have haunted current and former NFL players for years due in part to head trauma from the game. But yikes, from Terry Bradshaw and Michael Strahan laughing about Antonio Brown and joking about him being put into a straitjacket, again, a woman, Dr. Kathy, said, it's pretty clear these guys is not well. That's what the doctor said. We should be advocating for mental health treatment, not mocking those who need it. You see, so this is what's going on here. So Kathy, who is a doctor, says, big yikes from Terry Bradshaw and Michael Strahan, laughing about Antonio Brown and joking about him being put in a straitjacket. Pretty clear the guy is not well. We should be advocating for mental health treatment, not mocking those who need it. Another tweet came from the Durham Report, called the NFL to destigmatize mental health. And called out Bradshaw in a manner of equalizing the analyst's comment. So people, Joanne said, sad to see the analyst joking about Brown in response to what Bradshaw said. Blah, blah, blah. I have no harsh words for Tony Brown. Whitlock wrote, he needs help, lots of help. I don't know if he needs help. Why do we keep saying, why, you know, here's the problem I have.
I was about to say that.
Yeah. See, this is what therapists are. You know, therapists are fucked up. Let me tell you something. You cannot say that this guy maybe needs help. Maybe this is his personality. People handle things a certain way. You cannot say that he's mentally ill. If you're a therapist, how irresponsible. If you are a therapist, you cannot make a comment that he has mental illness unless you see him. Am I correct? I think it's irresponsible for therapists to say that kind of stuff without even having him as a patient. What do you guys say?
No, I didn't even know that the coach had told him he was off the team, and then he responded.
Right.
I thought he just responded being childish, right? So it's even I have even more defense of him, because if someone fires you off a team for something so simple, a person like him
right.
who would do something more outlandish, like curse and fight, to just walk off the team and do a peace sign and take off his top is really not a major issue. I think the major issue is why was the coach kicking him off the team for something so minuscule instead of, you know, just letting it ride and then having a private meeting and letting him talk to his advisors, et cetera. I think leaders have to have a bit more patience. But with someone like him who's already been in trouble, some people, including Terry Bradshaw, have already developed a negative mindset. Meanwhile, some of the other quarterbacks are showing empathy and said, look, we should try to understand him.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you, Hotep, and I don't know if that coach had authority to kick him off the team. There's a lot of things you have to do with the owner and the agents and all that kind of stuff. But leaving that aside, I don't know, why are we saying that the guy is mentally ill? I mean, the guy, you're right, he could be just acting wild.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Until I got all of a sudden, I got a message that I got a poor connection, and then my own router kicked me off. Yeah,
right.
How do we know he's just not a spoiled brat? That he just
right.
felt like, oh, okay, I want to play. You don't want me to play. Well, fuck you, and I'm going to show you. Well, how many years has he been on the team?
I told you, Brown's
been in a lot of trouble.
At least 2 years, if not more. I think at least 2 years.
All right. So
yeah,
in other words, he's not a rookie. So if he's not a rookie,
oh,
I mean,
Antonio
he should
Brown,
know.
Antonio Brown should be honest with you. He should be in the Hall of Fame. He played with Pittsburgh.
Well, I haven't followed. Oh yeah.
Antonio
I haven't followed
Brown
sports
for
since
Pittsburgh
in a
for
long
at least
time.
6 years. He should be in the Hall of Fame. I really think maybe the Hall of Cuckoo Fame, but still the Hall of Fame.
Well, he's like Dennis Rodman to some degree. They go very
right.
eccentric, except he doesn't wear dresses and things like that. But they were
yeah,
both
but
very
Dennis
talented.
Rodman, come on. Now, you're talking about Dennis Rodman. People didn't go with him as mentally ill. I mean, he was in dresses and lipsticks and earrings and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah,
he dyed
his
hair.
Back then, he wasn't as open, though. Today, mental illness is discussed much more openly. Back then, it was very taboo to discuss, especially about black people. And so we're at a different age. If Dennis Rodman were around today, the mental health pros would definitely be having some postings and communications questioning, you know, some of his actions.
You know what? You're right. You're right. But are we so quick? Are we so quick? Wait a minute, I got something here that I don't know what's playing. Hold on. What the hell was that? Hold on. But are we so quick to say something we don't understand listing under mentally ill? I mean, I don't know. I have to lean toward, okay, he did do stuff like get a fake COVID card to see if he could still play it. Everybody knew it was fake COVID card. You know what I'm trying to say? But is that mental illness? How many people got a fake COVID card?
Well, that by itself is not going to do. Yeah, that's not going to. That's not an indication he's mentally ill. It's an indication he's trying to do a work around the regulations. But the thing is that I don't know the history of this guy. Like I said, I haven't followed sports in a while. I was just glad that Brady
right.
won the championship last year because he got released from the Bills and, you know, goes to a team at the age of 42 and wins the Super Bowl. So I'm saying I was never a Brady fan. I did recognize that he was a great quarterback, but I wasn't a fan of his until he won the Super Bowl. I said, wow. 42. But getting back to this particular incident, I don't know this guy's history, And if he is mentally ill, then of course he should be looked at. He should be probed. You know, he should have a psychiatrist, talk to him, or a psychologist. But if he's not mentally ill, we can't just assume he's mentally ill.
Right.
But, you know.
I want you to listen. There's a show called Undisputed, and this is with Skip and Shannon Sharp. If you remember Shannon Sharp was...
I remember him. Yeah.
Okay. So now they have a show. And Skip is kind of like a sports commentator, so they have a show. They're talking about this stuff. And just listen for it. It's only 6 minutes. Here's what they had to say about it. Here we go. Well, we're going, but we didn't go.
It'll take us 6 minutes before it starts. I know. You're back.
I know.
Hey, you're back, Brian.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm trying to get it, and it's not.
I love it, John. You never have anything set up.
No, I do. I do. But sometimes the technical difficulties.
Hama, are you using the Blog Talk kind of interface to do what you're doing?
No. Actually, I'm not. I'm using YouTube and putting the phone to the speaker. But here we are. Here we go right here. Here we go.
We have to start with the biggest story of the day yesterday. Tom Brady and the Bucks survived the 28-24.
And they're going to debate this, but here we go.
Antonio Brown. AB took his helmet off and shoulder pads off in the third quarter and stormed off the field, waving to fans as he left. Now, after the game, Bruce Arians told our own Jay Glazer that he tried to get AB to go back into the game twice in the second half, but the receiver refused. And then the coach went on to tell the media that Brown is, quote, no longer a Buck. Shannon, how surprised were you by this?
I'm not surprised at all. I foretold a bit.
You did?
I wondered.
Well, wait, time out. You said it was great that they brought him back. That's what you said.
Yeah, I said the only reason they brought him back, this was never about, remember Bruce Arians said he had a soft spot in his heart. I told you they shouldn't have signed him. Remember last year?
I know, but they shouldn't have brought him back.
Skip.
No?
I said they shouldn't have signed him from the beginning. So if they don't sign him from the beginning, we're not even here. You said they should have resigned him. You said he had a special relationship with Tom Brady.
Okay.
You co-signed that.
I know, but just 2 weeks ago I said this is going to be a disaster. This will blow up sooner than later.
I said it was going to blow up last year. They shouldn't have signed him, Skip.
All right, go ahead.
Here's the thing, Skip. It was just a matter of time. The fake vaccine. We saw this in Pittsburgh. You saw it in Oakland. You saw it in New England. And you saw it, and now you see it in Tampa. Skip, the only difference between this and all the other incidents is, you know what it was, Skip? It was caught on camera.
Mm.
Him not coming to practice. Him missing meetings. Him getting his feet wet and going into a cryo chamber and getting frostbite. Him not going to the walkthrough at a hotel ballroom in Canada.
Yep.
Him sending out the latest pictures and the address about what transpired when he was in New England. The only difference is with this, we got an opportunity to see it publicly. There's something about that camera, Skip. Remember when we watched the Jordan? Now, this is a totally situation, but to see a man die on camera. We've seen other situations where people have died in police custody, but we didn't get a chance to see it.
No,
we saw this. We saw AB basically pull his pants down and show his you-know-what to the world.
Mm.
Take his shoulder pads off. Mike Evans, O.J. Howard trying to talk to him. Come on, bro. Don't do that. AB, come on. Let's get back in the game. Yada, yada, yada. Throw his pants, throw his gloves, throw everything, peace out to the crowd.
Yep.
And guess what, Skip? Even to this day, people are making excuses. Shannon, he needed 33 yards for $300,000. He needed a touchdown for $300,000. He needed this many catches for $300,000. Still condoning his behavior.
For his incentive.
His incentive.
Yep.
Skip, last year, Tom Brady in the last game got the man $1.5 million. Just force feeding the ball. Skip, he just force fed him last week, 15 targets.
Never seen anything like it before. Yep.
You know, Tom, if it comes down to it, Tom going to get the man his money. And he did this because this is who he is.
Mm.
Skip, we go back, our first year on the show. He did what he did in the locker room after the Kansas City game. Skip, I said, I'm done.
Playoff game before they were heading to New England.
He went Facebook Live. He went Facebook Live in the locker room knowing that's sacred.
And his coach was speaking, and his coach, his inside words got to go outside on Facebook Live.
So, Skip, this is what we see from AB. When AB doesn't get his way, or if you tell AB no, he's going to buck. AB had a problem in Pittsburgh because he saw Ben getting treatment privileges that he didn't get. So if Ben didn't practice, he said, well, why, if Ben doesn't practice, why do I have to practice? He started coming late to meetings. And you know what? For the longest time, AB's greatness have allowed him privileges that everybody else would have never gotten. Things got scraped, pushed to the side. Well, hey, that's AB, bro. He's going to go out there and give us 10 for 15 instead of just, AB, this is the way you need to act. And now it's grown so much, how do you control it? BA thought they could control it. Even Tom thought he could control it.
Yep.
Until guess what? It got so big, even he couldn't control Frankenstein. And then Frankenstein started consuming. Mike Tomlin can't control it. John Gruden loved it. AB, he's going to lead it in energy. He loved it, spoke glowingly about it when he was in the booth and went out and gave him $30 million. Even Coach Belichick, Skip, you know Coach Belichick, but Coach Belichick says, you know, we get him into our culture, everything will be okay. This is who AB is. And until people stop giving him passes, oh, Shannon, you jealous of AB because he's better. AB got the bag. You remember he going on Facebook Live talking about free, free at last. Oh, AB, free, let it free, let me spread my wings. Now what? If it's just a matter of time, this thing going to die down. Now, he won't get signed this year. But you know somebody going to feel.
I don't know about
somebody
that.
Somebody going to feel they can do it, Skip.
I don't think so.
Well, so what? They did it with Pittsburgh. He went to Oakland. He went to New England. Tampa gave him a chance. What? Give him a year. He'll say, you know, hey, I don't want to speak because I take mental illness too serious to try to equate it in this situation. But the problem that I have with people, they never mentioned mental illness when he was in Pittsburgh, when he was in Oakland, when he was in New England. It wasn't until he showed his butt to the world for the world to see. And now they want to give him this. And I just can't. It might be Skip, and I hope if he gets the treatment, I hope he goes and gets treatment. Because this is not normal behavior.
Yep.
But not coming to work is not normal behavior if you have a regular job, Skip.
Nope.
You and I both have to come to work. We can't say, you know what, I ain't coming today. Hey, man, Shannon, what happened? I just ain't feeling today, bro.
Hmm. Okay, I hear everything you just said. And yet when they brought him back after he got busted for a fake vaccination card, which is a felony offense now in this country.
He was on zero tolerance.
Supposedly zero. Allegedly zero
okay.
tolerance, said Bruce Arians a year ago.
Love how you use allegedly.
Yeah. And once Bruce Arians got emasculated by Tom Brady,
yes.
I believe that's what happened. He got completely undercut. All of his credibility and authority in the locker room got undercut because Brady said, B.A., I got to have him.
Well, it started last year, Ben.
They had just lost Chris Godwin.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, if you want to replace Chris Godwin, I can't think of a better way to replace him on the field or on paper than with Antonio Brown.
Correct.
Who is probably Tom's favorite target on the team, even a little above Rob Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm.
Who had fallen into Tom's doghouse. So Tom said, B.A., I got to have him. And if you'll let me have him, watch what I can do with him against Carolina at home. To your point, he threw him 15 balls in his first game back after a three-game suspension and all those weeks that he missed with a bum ankle. He threw him 15 balls, and he caught 10 for 101. And basically, you just handed the keys to the city over to Antonio Brown. You basically, as you said, recreated the monster. Well, you said it, man.
Yeah.
You just said, here, you are blessed because you are our savior. You're it. You have completely empowered AB to be AB again. And again, I respect the mental illness part, but at some point, you have to face the facts. They just completely empowered a guy who, once he gets the power, wherever he's been,
yep.
you saw what happened with the Raiders.
Yep.
You see it again and again and again. He just self-destructs.
Especially once he feels you need it. You've got to have him, Skip.
Okay, this is a got to have him,
mm-hmm.
and that's what he thought. So I did text with somebody who's close to AB, and this is the version of what they heard directly from AB about what happened yesterday. Remember, the last ball he caught was at 6:33 of this second quarter. This happened in the third quarter, and they're down 14 at this point, right? Okay, so his version is his ankle is still bothering him and that he was sucking it up and taking one for the team to even be out there. Right away yesterday, it shocked me that Tom started to go back to Gronk. And I told you last week, Gronk had fallen into the doghouse, remember? He'd gone from 11 targets and only two catches in that debacle against New Orleans at home on Sunday night. He has fallen all the way to two targets against Carolina.
Right.
And one, he just dropped in the corner of the end zone, and you could see Brady mouthing as he ran up the sideline. What's he doing? And I told you, he's doghouse. Well, I guess Brady decided he liked the matchup against the Jets because they were singling up Rob.
Right, it's a matchup, baby.
Okay, it's a matchup. That's all he cares about.
Yes.
He doesn't care about this or that. He'll try to get A.B. his balls. He'll try to get his incentives. But he's also trying to win the freaking game. That's all he cares about in the end. And he got a matchup that he liked with Gronk. So in the first half, he was favoring Gronk.
Right.
He was singling Gronk because he was single.
Right.
And A.B.'s like, do you realize I'm the savior, right? Okay, so he's out of the game, and B.A. goes over to him and says, why don't you go back in the game? We got to get you your incentives. He told him this on the sideline.
Right.
We're going to get you your incentives.
Yes.
He needed five more catches and 88 more yards. Five catches gets him to 333,000. This is all going to total to a million.
But, Skip, we still got a game. We still got another game. So even if he doesn't get it all the way
to a whole other game against Carolina
right,
at home.
Did you just call 10 for a buck on one on 15 targets?
Okay.
Okay.
So it's all sitting right there. It's
correct.
All done. It's going to be a done
deal.
They're going to get it for you.
Right.
You need 88 yards to get to 333,000. And you need one touchdown catch.
Right.
Just one more to get to 333,000.
Right.
That's 333, 333, $1 million. Okay. It's not end of the world kind of money, but because he's on the minimum, they all were pulling for him. And when Brady said after the game, we all care deeply about him, I don't think that was a bunch of BS. I do. I think they do care. I know Tom Brady cares deeply about
him. The question you have to ask yourself, Skip, is why does a guy this talented have incentives in his contract?
Okay. Good question.
Because of the behavior, because we can't trust you.
Can't
we
trust.
Know if we give you this money, we give you 50.
There you go. I know it was longer than I expected. But basically, that was it. That's it. Said in a nutshell. That's it.
Well, we don't know. Yeah, we don't know, again, if it's mental illness or not. It could be just because he's spoiled. And as the commentator pointed out, that if this guy knows that he's needed, then he's going to be enabled to always act out, and which is what he's done. Now, if he does have mental issues, he should be treated. And if he's a spoiled brat, I don't know. I don't like prima donnas on my team, so
right.
I would rather get rid of him.
And that's what they did. And he is difficult, but he's talented. Can he win the game? Yes. It's all about winning. You know how many people that have that brain injury that are playing sports as of today? You'll be shocked how many players who are active right now, who are actively playing, have that brain injury going on. And you hear it time and time again. So when I don't like professional therapists or anyone call out somebody that has mentally ill, you have no idea what's going on with it. These people. I have the same argument with the shooters. When I hear these shooters going up in high school and they're killing, these students killing students, and the first thing you say is, okay, mental illness. They may not be mentally ill. You know what I'm trying to say? They just may be angry. I disagree with that. I don't think that all those shooters are mentally ill. I just think there are some people who are angry, some people who are acting out, but that it has to be mental illness going on. Are we quick to say that people are mentally ill for everything? I mean, if you're depressed, mental illness. If you're angry, mental illness. You can't sleep, it's mental illness. You can't eat, mental illness. We're using this mental illness thing way too broad to put you in that category. Do you agree?
Well, I think if you're going to shoot up a school, even if you're angry, and a lot of these kids were bullied in school, so they had accumulated a lot of resentment and a lot of festering, smoldering cauldrons within them and wanted to strike back. But for them to do that, I would think you would have to have mental illness. Plus, I think almost all of the kids who, like Columbine and a lot of mass murderers, they're on psychotropic drugs. So whatever resentment they do have is exacerbated by the psychotropic drugs that they've taken, and that causes them to have at least instant mental illness. I don't know if that's going to be enough in court to say, well, you've got exigent circumstances and you should be acquitted. But if you're that angry and you want to go to school and actually, if you do it without being on psychotropic drugs, I'm not going to give somebody a pass simply because they're angry. If they've had mental illness problems, I think it should be investigated.
You know, we're not a nation that is a peaceful nation. We're known for aggression and, unfortunately, often for war. So it's not surprising that many people turn to aggression in their way they are. Now, compound that with the fact that celebrities and athletes that are good get a lot of slack and breaks, and we create a very scenario that we see with, you know, Mr. Brown. I think society has just as much responsibility as he does, but he's very talented, and he may not have the right team around him. He needs someone to, like Michael Jackson, people just say, yeah, because they're getting paid. Maybe he needs somebody to say, look, sit your butt down. We can't do that. Maybe you need to be evaluated if he hasn't been already. And, yeah, I think mental health is much more a big problem. Don't forget, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and we're in abnormal scenarios. So I give mental health more credit for much of what we see, whether or not the person hurt looks like us or not. There's definitely a mental health problem that's often not addressed. I hope he gets another chance and he can shake himself up and break some records instead of, you know, breaking rules.
He's a talented guy. He's still in his, I would say, he's past his prime, but he's still good enough. I think you get what you get. You know what you're getting when you sign Antonio Brown. You know what you're getting, nuts and bolts and everything. You know what you're getting. So I'm saying, okay, deal with it. You know what you're getting if you check in a metal band into a nice hotel in, in the Poconos.
And they
now when you, you know, Guns N' Roses is going to stay at some brilliant hotel. Right.
And tear it up.
You're going to, exactly. You're going to tear the shit up. You know what you're going to get. You know there's going to be some smash TVs. There's going to be some stuff. You know what you're getting. But the advertisement of Guns N' Roses staying at this foo-foo hotel is going to bring in millions. And I say, you know what you're going to get. Antonio, people think, let's fix someone. First of all, nobody fixes anyone. What they're trying to say is, let's control you. Let's keep you manageable. And when you do that with prescription and meds, you change who the person is. So, yeah, okay, let's get him medication. Let's do this. But you're not going to have the same guy. This is the stuff you trade in. And we don't try to fix your mental illness. We try to control your mental illness. We try to manage your mental illness. Nobody fixes mental illness. Do you guys agree or disagree?
I think it's only fixed if there are certain operations that are had. But other than that, the chemicals, whether organic, holistic, or big pharmaceutical drugs, they help the person to manage. And I have a relative that is managing the mental health challenges with holistic treatments, and it hasn't changed the person in a negative way. It just has brought down some of the aggression and the lack of control in certain scenarios. So it can be, some of them can be totally cured with certain surgeries, but brain surgeries are very dangerous. A lot of people don't survive. So management of it is better. And society itself doesn't make it easy to be normal. Because the song, the movies, the TV shows, the war, you know, we're surrounded by a lot of aggression often, I think. Not to mention the street crime and the other law enforcement crime that some of us have to see and encounter continually. And being hit on the head as a football player, that doesn't help much.
Well, there you go, with the brain injuries. And I'd really like to do a segment on that. So, I mean, we talk about the brain injury. I have a cousin who played pro. But the problem of that is that you can't really study the brain unless the person's dead. And I am convinced that when you have your little Bobby playing Pop Warner football up until junior high school, up until high school, by the time he gets to college, you mean to tell me he's been hit in the head so many times all the way up to college, he's been playing football since 9, that he doesn't have some kind of damage going on there before he even reaches pro. We're not going to, if that story ever broke out, that our kids are suffering from brain injury from playing sports when they're in junior high school and high school, it will damage everything. And nobody's going to report on that. But, and I say that to say this, that we put a stigma on someone, mental illness is a stigma on someone that is too broad. And if I had to be a conspiracy theorist, big pharma is benefiting from this immensely. And when you put somebody on medication, there's going to be some adverse effects of that medication they're on. And I think maybe the effects of the medication that they're on can even be worse than the problems that they're having that can cause anxiety, anger.
Anger management.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Illusions, hallucinations.
Sure. But nobody is studying the adverse effect of people on a prescribed medication that's calming bipolar or schizophrenia or anything like this. They're just talking about, okay, let's take the medication, he'll be fine. But what about the adverse reaction of taking that medication? Nobody did a study on that. That could cause that person to go over the site. Do you guys agree or not agree? I don't know.
Yeah, the people that should be doing the research are the government, meaning government should not allow products on the market that hurt the consumer. So the FDA and other regulatory agencies should put these drugs through strenuous analysis, research, etc. Problem is, most of these industries are self-regulated, so they get to regulate themselves, which is also a part of the problem. So in the case of Antonio, he's in an industry where he's making them hundreds of billions through some of his antics as well as some of his skills on the field. Then he is possibly being treated by big pharmaceuticals who make billions of mentally ill people, so he may be, in combination with being in a nation that is known for cowboys and, you know, the Wild Wild West, etc., he may be the product of our own society.
True. And we created that society. Let me just make my point. Are you kidding me? Now, people talk about mental illness and the psychological effect of mental illness, but we rarely talk about the physical side of mental illness. You're going to be surprised. You will be surprised at this. This is true. And nobody's talking about this. These are the physical symptoms of a mental illness. And a lot of people don't know. You guys want to guess what are the physical symptoms of mental illness? Anybody here give me one guess what it is? You're not going to believe it. Okay.
Being a talk show host.
That's Joe. You hit the well. How did you know that? You son of a bitch. That's number two.
Just a lucky guess.
No. Yeah, being a blog. No, you're going to be shocked.
Here it is. Obesity. Do you know that if you're obese, you're considered...
Really?
Seriously. These are the physical signs of mental illness. Obesity is one of the signs. Can you believe that? It says right here.
I'm going to go back to what you said. We're painting everything with by having everybody be mentally ill with too broad a brush. Yeah,
right.
I can understand people who can't fit into the world, who are socially ostracized from other people, who have to eat their way out of their depression. I can understand that, but that doesn't mean that everybody who consumes sugar at a half a pound a day and gets fat is mentally ill. I think we have to take each case on an individual basis.
Well, I agree with you, but this is what it says, and you have to look at big pharma involved medication and billions of dollars going on here. They say that if you're obese, you are mentally ill. It says here, a post of the U.S. National Library of Medicine explains that those with severe mental illness, call it SMI, such as bipolar disorder and schizophrenia, may be at a higher risk for obtaining unhealthy body mass reading as 30 or higher on a body mass. So they're saying if your body mass is higher than 30, basically your mental illness can be caused by your obesity, and they're linking it to bipolar and schizophrenia. You see a fat person walking down the street, you're going to say that person is mentally ill because he has a high rate getting bipolar and being schizophrenic because he's overweight. That's what they're saying. I'm not making it up.
I don't think they're saying quite that. I think they're saying that people who have bipolar conditions, people who do have certain types of mental illness, will reflect that by being obese, as opposed to if you're obese, you may be mentally ill. I think it's the other way around. For what you just
said. Okay,
finished
it says here. Well, I don't know. Hotep, what are your thoughts?
Well,
I don't know.
Well, Big Pharma has a direct conflict because Big Pharma is also related to food preservatives, food enhancers, food chemical flavor enhancers. Or they have thousands of things they put in the food that also addict us to the food, make us more attracted to the food. So for them to say that obesity is a problem and them not to mention that some of their alliances are with the companies and some of them own the companies that make all the food enhancers, preservatives, they're only telling us one side of the story. They're blaming it on the person overeating and not the food that makes us addicted.
Right. And it says here, it adds up. They're trying to connect so much. They're saying those with schizophrenia are up to 3 to 5 times more likely to become obese, while those with major depression or bipolar disorders are at 1.5 times to increase risk of obesity. So you see how they're trying to thread this, and there's a report saying that Americans are the most obese. In the world. I mean,
yeah.
But now they're going to tie in obesity with illness, with schizophrenia and bipolar. Come on, guys, you're really reaching right here. I mean, I say bullshit. Here's another one that the medical profession is saying by the physical illness, fatigue, saying if you're tired, guess what? If you're overly tired, you're mentally ill. That's what they're saying. That's what the Big Pharma is saying. What do you say? Here, fatigue. The clinic says mental illness can be... Well, it says here, if you're fatigued a lot, it says the Mayo Clinic says mental illness can be more than just feeling of sadness or distress. There may be because you feel significant tiredness, low energy, or problems sleeping, according to the sources. You are reaching.
They don't mention that the sugar in our diet and the high fructose corn syrup give us a quick rush and then we crash. Again, they're acting as though they can only see through one eye, not telling us the full picture so that we come to the conclusion that, you know what, hey, the only solution is big pharmaceutical mind-altering drugs, not removing the white sugar and the corn syrup out of the diet.
But he answers your question. Says, of course, insomnia will likely lead to feeling more tired. But depression and chronic fatigue syndrome are often mistaken for each other, but also can exist at the same time without other sources. It's important to let a doctor know, blah, blah, blah. So you're trying – this is what I'm – I mean, I have seen a psychiatrist, and this psychiatrist has seen me. Am I right? I don't think so, but I have fun not being right. If I'm wrong, right, I'd rather stay. But if you talk to anybody for a long period of time, which I have, you'll realize that you're talking to a person that says, you know what, maybe your thinking is off the chart. And mental illness it moves around. For instance, and I'm going to talk seriously about transgender. Back in the day, if a person wants to take on being a transgender, he would be called mentally ill. Would you guys agree? Nowadays, they're not. It's a way of life.
Yeah.
It's who they are, and we can accept who they are. I understand it, but if you go back 50s and 60s, 70s, that person would be different. He would say he would suffer from some mental illness. Am I correct? So I don't know how the pendulum swings, but we cannot defy mental illness as saying, and they're using a broad stroke to get people on medication. That's all I have to say. That's my argument, right or wrong.
Well, that's what I was saying before. I think Big Pharma is trying to extend its tentacles around just about anything and everything in America so that it can get richer. Most of the drugs that they supply to the doctors, and a lot of doctors don't really know the adverse effects of these drugs. And do you know that if the drug is a winner, if the drug is going to bring in, you know, countless billions, they're going to do everything they can to persuade the doctors. They take them to parties. They do other things for doctors to make sure that the doctors keep writing scripts for drugs when they don't really need drugs. I don't like drugs. I very rarely take them. I like holistic alternatives, the four drugs. If I have anything that's bothering me, I wait it out until I can't take it anymore. Luckily, I haven't had that. I haven't had to wait until I couldn't take it anymore. But I have had to wait months for pain to go away because I don't want to see a doctor. I don't want to take drugs.
Right.
That's the way I am, man. I'm relatively healthy.
Yeah, and I can confirm that they do take doctors and spend money to kind of give them extra treatment. I was invited to a restaurant. I think one of my other family members was there, and a big pharmaceutical rep was paying for the meal for my friend and his partner, who are doctors, and for me, because I was a guest. And, of course, we all ate up, and it comes off like it's legitimate business, but why is this occurring? Why aren't patients being told? At least they should keep a chart in the office. Company X took me to these restaurants and sent me to Hawaii 10 times so that patients actually know what's going on behind the scenes.
Right. See, you know, the thing about it is as I get older, I suffer from more anxiety. I happen to have a great person with me, and I can talk, whatever. You already know who that is. I'm not going to say her name on the radio anymore. She's a topic on Facebook. I'm not going to say it. But as we get older, we suffer from more anxiety and depression, and it could be a number of things. You have a person who's been working for 35 years and he's faced with retirement. And, I mean, that can lead to a lot of depression and a lot of anxiety. I mean, there's so many things can lead to so many things. And you cannot say that they're mentally ill. And panic attacks is another one. A person who is overwhelmed and they react a certain way, that's okay. It doesn't mean that they're mentally ill. It means that maybe right now you're overwhelmed, you got so much stress, take it easy, take a break, relax for a little bit. But there's no need to put them on some kind of medication that changes their chemicals in their body and their brain to react a certain way. I mean, when I work on
Hammer,
I can tell you that medication will cause a panic attack. One of the worst experiences I ever had medically only lasted 3 seconds. And I've had the flu for like 4 to 5 days when I was a kid, almost died from it. And I've had toothaches, which were killers. But one time, as a result of taking, and I needed to take a prescription, what was it? I had to take an antibiotic, and I took at the same time, what was it she prescribed? Anyway, I took them both at the same time because I had a killer toothache, and it gave me a panic attack for 3 seconds, just for 3 seconds. But during those 3 seconds, I was ready to call 911 because the intensity of what happened then, it affected me to such a degree that I was ready to call 911, get an ambulance over here. Luckily, it subsided in 3 seconds. Can you imagine the poor people who have panic attacks, anxiety attacks that last for, sometimes they last for hours, days, weeks. I pity them. Oof.
It's amazing, and I do. I mean, I've had anxiety attacks that last 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I mean, and you're right, I do. I do want to give them a hug, but then again, I don't like this experimental medicine that doctors give you to calm you. It's just that we're too medicated for things, you know? But I'm not quick to say that that person suffered this anxiety attack or this panic attack at this moment, and they're calmed down and everything, and next week we're still qualifying them as mentally ill. And that's the problem where I'm having with this. I think they're just trying to medicate us and medicate us and medicate us, not to fix the problem, not to understand the problem, but just to calm us down and to get you under control. And that's all I think medication is about. That's what it is. It's not going to fix the problem. But if it does help some people, if it does help some people to cope, I'm 100% for it. You know, maybe you need some kind of coping mechanism, but I still think we're over-medicating people in the United States of America. I still say 1 out of 4 people on the road who are driving right now are on some kind of medication, whether it's high blood pressure medicine, whether it's low cholesterol medicine, whether whatever. 1 out of 4 people driving on the roads today are on some kind of medication. I really believe that. I don't know the study, but I really believe that.
There is a legitimate place for chemicals, because some mental challenges and illnesses are really imbalances in chemicals, hormones, etc. Some are physical damage or some wiring in the brain where signals don't go to other areas, and sometimes there's too much signal. So sometimes to counter the chemical issue, chemicals being induced, I know it helps my relative holistically, help
right.
to calm and make the person more rational. However, Big Pharma is capitalizing on something that is an existing problem and making it a cash cow, just like happens in the corporate world. They find something legitimate, and then they tell us, guess what? We have the solution for it, when in actuality their solution is synthetic with side effects that hasn't had sufficient trials, but that we're told this is the only solution because the medical text, I know I have a big one that's about 1,400 pages, and everything in it is big pharmaceutical and patent. They don't mention a banana, a lemon, an apple, nothing. If it's not a big pharmaceutical, it's not considered a medicine. When back in the day, food was the medicine. Today, food is synthesized and becomes a big pharmaceutical patent that they make money off.
I do agree with that. I'm just going to run down the list really quickly, and we're going to end the show. Here's some of the other physical symptoms that you may have that you consider mentally ill. Ticks and twitches. That's another one that they said that if you have ticks and twitches, you're considered mentally ill. Sinus problems. Sinus problems. They're category not. Sinuses. Yes, your nose. And here's the study. Psychology Today.
Oh,
in 2014, there's an article that chronic sinus issues have been linked to depression. You see how they're linking this, guys? Oh, it's linked to depression. You have sinus problems, now you're linked to depression. You see? It said it knows up to 1/4 of people with chronic sinuses, inflammation of the sinuses, also are affected by depression. Sinuses itself can be troublesome as it causes feelings of always being stuffed up or causing pressure in the facial area. This is another case where depression can trigger a physical ailment. You see that? I'm being honest. Sinus problems, mentally ill. These are some other stuff. Nausea. If you get sick and you get nausea, that's one of the symptoms of mental illness. They say nausea. Feeling sick to your stomach often may be a sign that your mind is not doing its best, according to Science Daily. The findings were based on a study in Norway involving 62,000 subjects. 48% of the respondents noticed that they had some gastrointestinal complaints.
Gastrointestinal.
And nearly 13% had nausea during the first year, and that developed to anxiety disorder. And it also develops into you're more likely to suffer from depression. You're more likely to suffer from depression. So they're going to put that
well,
in
that's normal,
of,
though.
Yes.
But that's normal. If you have an ongoing medical problem and you're going to be anxious about the outcome over time, I think it's normal for people to become slightly depressed about a condition that's not going away, which could become either dangerous in the future or certainly inhibits their behavior or inhibits their movement. That's normal.
And it's very expensive because the medical bills are off the charts.
Right.
That's
so
true,
we're changing human behavior. Basically, human behavior is mental ill. Here's another one. Here's how you can tell a person is mentally ill. Weight loss. If you're trying to lose weight, you're basically mentally ill in this section here. It says, in contrast to obesity, it is not uncommon for individuals with mental illnesses such as depression and anxiety to lose weight without even trying. Individuals with anxiety and depression disorders often lose the desire they once had for things they find enjoyable. So they're saying if a person is losing weight for no reason at all, let's omit the dieting and all that stuff, but just losing weight, basically you're mentally ill. That's what the science is saying, because you're more likely to develop depression and anxiety. What say you? This is what it says. So losing weight is one of the physical signs of mental illness. Another one, headaches. See, we're going on and on and on. They're saying, again, migraines or mental disorders show low activity of enzymes that are responsible for deactivating certain chemicals in your mind. So if you have migraines, you're basically mental ill. You're basically mentally ill. That's what the doctors are saying. And we can go on and on and on. What do you guys think of that? That's it.
Big money. Big money being made.
Headaches. Sinuses. Well, it could cause depression, and we'll medicate you. Well, doctor, I got a
who's
migraine.
Funding,
all right.
Who's funding
yeah.
the studies? That'd be good to know.
Yeah, I would like to know. This is coming
from... Well, it's always Big Pharma.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody.
Oh, yeah. Let's see what else. Irritated skin. Eczema. If you have eczema, you're mentally ill. That's what they said. There was a study that says skin rashes are worsened conditions that leave stress to the body that develops into, you guessed it, depression, schizophrenia, eczema.
Schizophrenia. I can understand depression, but schizophrenia.
Here's another one. This will shock you. These are physical. These are actual physical symptoms that a person may be mentally ill. If you have a cavity, cavities, the next condition is more of a side effect rather than a symptom, but there is a link between depression and cavities. So if you have a cavity, you are depressed. That's what it says. That's what the study says.
What
do you
think?
You know what they're doing? They're doing correlation instead of causation. That's what they're doing.
Yes!
Because
exactly.
Yeah.
The reason this is a side effect is because individuals suffering from mental illness such as depression often find themselves every day with tasks like brushing their teeth rather difficult, and potentially they skip it altogether. So therefore, you're going to get gum disease, and then you're going to stress out, and then you're going to get depression, and therefore it's a sign of mental illness, cavities.
Well, they've moved out of the scientific method. They're talking causation and correlation as a just like with the vaccine, they've moved out of scientific reasoning now, and they're in the land of fairy tales, milk and honey, and speculation. So it's no longer science. It's really just propaganda.
Exactly. Well, here's the last one that's going to drive me crazy, because I thrive on it. And
sugar.
You're going to really be
no sugar. Coffee.
But you're
selling
close.
Jokes.
You're close.
Close.
You know, why you? This is why I take a vacation. adrenaline rush.
Adrenaline rush, yeah.
Exactly. That's a problem. It says that if you ever had an anxiety attack, you know that they are absolutely awful. Anxiety attacks are often triggered mentally but felt physically. An article written by, you know, blah, 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 blah. If you have adrenaline, yes. body activates to fight. The body activates to fight
or
flight to get us ready to face dangers, run, or fight. During the surge of the rush, individuals will feel their heart rate increase and feel heart palpitations. Take shorter and faster breaths, chest pain, chills, or hot flashes, and muscle tension, to name a few. Therefore, it leads to anxiety, and you're mentally ill. So don't get excited. And all of it leads to, you guys said it right, all of it leads to the correlation of mental health. Everything you
do. Well, all these studies give me stress as I listen to you, so they should be sued because I feel like I need a shot or something, maybe a gunshot.
I'm just saying
that. These.
We are over-medicated. This country is over-medicated. We all know that. But nobody is stopping this, and that's why the new format was And we're
Well,
going
do you
to
know what
experience.
I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you know what I forget what the ranking is, but let's say it's the fifth leading
right.
cause of death in the United States. Fentanyl took over the number one position, but I think
right.
still the fifth or pretty close to the fifth or sixth are avoidable mistakes by doctors. Doctors kill more people than I don't know if they kill more people than automobiles. I forget. But if they're the number fifth or sixth in the United States for people dying,
yeah, medical
you know, that,
yep.
yeah, I mean, avoidable mistakes,
mm-hmm.
that means then how can you trust the people that's in a profession that are so stupid that they kill you?
Yeah. Hey, well, kill you and supposed to help you. It's not like kill you in a boxing match, you know, hey. That's kind of you could figure out, but kill you and you went there to be helped after being in a boxing match, and they kill you and not the boxer.
Well,
and
it's
you
just
know
safer
what,
in a boxing match than taking aspirin.
Some of these experimental things. You know what I've learned, and we could talk about the pharmaceutical companies and the medical profession, what have considered this, considered that. But the one thing I did learn this year in 21 by going to a doctor is to ask them questions. And I wonder how many people just don't ask the question. When my doctor wanted to prescribe me some medication, the first thing I asked, what is the effect? What is the effect of taking the medication? You know what I mean? What am I going to experience? And he kind of looked surprised at me because, again, most people go to the doctor and his word is God. And they don't ask enough about the information. So maybe when a person, when they go to see a counselor or a psychologist or a psychiatrist, maybe they should ask them about medication and ask them what is or the harm that it could cause on my body by taking it at
on a prolonged period of time. Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know if people ask these questions. And if anything I learned in 21 is ask questions, and it's okay. Yeah. Except to a police officer who's holding a gun, who asks no questions. Just get in the car and hand him over whatever he wants. But on a serious
well,
note, you know what I'm saying.
Shouldn't
Joe,
it also
I mean,
be a law, though, that if a doctor prescribes something to a patient, a living human, that the doctor has to give you a PDF or a piece of paper that describes the pros and cons and how long the drug has been out, and if he has or she has any conflicts of interest.
Oh, I have not received
it.
I think they do it, like, you know those commercials, we see people holding hands, like, Jim haven't had an erection in 2 years, but now he got erect help. And look at him running through the forest and, you know, with his and they're smiling.
With 10 women
and
chasing
the,
him, yeah.
It causes your balls to explode. You get liver damage. You get this,
yeah.
You may not remember who you are. And Jim's an asshole.
You may become a transvestite. All kinds of crazy.
There you go with the transvestite.
Yeah.
Bring me into
you're going to get in trouble.
You gotta satisfy your one audience member, Brian.
That
with
one
the
audience
one that cross-dresses.
Yeah, my transgender audience. You know I love her. You know I love her. She's the show. He loves the show. She's a transgender, and we gotta pay respect to her. I mean, you never
do you
know.
Actually have one? Do you actually have one that you know of?
Remember we
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I was making a joke. I didn't know you had actually a transgender audience member. Did she ever come on the show?
It's me.
But the last thing that we're going to talk about is relief. Yeah, we do have a transgender. She loves the show, and I want to thank her. She was on for a while, and people asked questions.
I'm sorry, brother. The transgender have to remember that just like they want rights like everyone else, straight people also go through some stuff, right? And as you rise in your rights, you have to back off of all this, well, now treat me special. Because if you're just like me and everyone on this phone, people are going to make jokes about you. They make jokes about all of us. But we don't take it personally.
Exactly. I think
I wish the transgender would come on the show. When I'm around, I'd make
jokes. No, not with you. That wouldn't be good.
Oh, yeah, not with you, Joe.
I'll have my transgender community come over there and kick your ass. But
yeah, well, she's probably about 6'4", like I said, former linebacker for the Browns.
She is fit, and she can kick your ass. I would be nice to her. She will.
I call her anything she wants, you know. Hey, I'm Mrs. Whatever. Yeah, yes, dear.
Hey, and they consider these jokes anti-trans. The fact that a man can be strong, stronger than a woman, but if you joke about it, it's anti-trans. I don't understand it. They have no sense of humor.
They don't mind winning the
competitions
Do you know how far back that is to win an event in swimming by 38 seconds? I think that's the lap of a pool.
Yeah, that is crazy.
I know. I think that transgender in sports, we weren't going to talk about it, but I think that they have their own category, not competing.
Yeah,
they should.
It's just really ridiculous because basically you're putting down women. Basically, you're putting women back in a stone age, and
you know what though?
Yeah.
If you actually had that transgender category, there wouldn't be that many people becoming transgenders because they would not be the winners that they would hope they would become. That's right.
I think it's right, but it's coming. I don't know if it's coming. They tried it once in 11 countries.
Transgender.
They did. They Catical. Did try to.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but Russia would not allow it.
Hey, well, listen, wouldn't straight guys be able to sue to compete in the transgender? Because we could argue in court it's unconstitutional for me, a guy, to be discriminated against, a guy that used to be a guy
that's
now a woman is competing, so I'm going to sue. I'll still be beaten, but at least I'll be in the competition.
Right. Right, see, that's
and that would cause all kinds of chaos, right?
Yeah.
People should be who they are, and I respect all people. I do. But when it becomes political where transgender is actually competing in sports, there has to be some kind of common sense mindedness, you know. Even with the throwing shots or whatever, shots or female hormone, whatever. It's not fair. It's called doping. Remember, we can't even take regular steroids. It's called doping. You're going to be infected with, you know what I'm saying. It's a problem. We got to end the show with this. Trump plans to hold a news conference on a Capitol riot anniversary. Shows he is getting terrible advice. Trump is coming on TV January 6th. Former President Donald Trump will hold a press conference on the anniversary of the Capitol riot. People are saying it wouldn't be advice for you to do it. He's going to do it anyway, and he's going to talk about how the election was won, how the people at the Capitol were peaceful people, and peaceful was the one who started all the trouble, that orders did not cause any chaos was all. It's a bad fake news. So he's going to come on saying that January 6th. How do you feel about that?
I'd like for him to come on your show.
I would too. I would too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like the old wasn't me kind of thing theory worked. And I believe that the elections were stolen. 71% of the Republicans believe that it wasn't me theory is working. It's firm. People believe it more. Sometimes people ought to say, you know what? Enough. If, I know you're independent, Joe, because I can only ask you, because Hotep, I know you're probably Democrat, but I can only ask you, Joe, you're independent. If Trump ran, would you vote for this stuff?
I thought he was a great president. I do think the elections were stolen. But my support for Trump has waned a lot since he came out in favor of these vaccines. These vaccines are absolutely dangerous. And he keeps saying that they're safe. So I wouldn't, if he continues with this, I would vote for DeSantis. Now DeSantis might be on the same ticket, but if they were to run against each other, and if we still had America in 2024, I would vote for DeSantis over Trump.
Okay, and that's my thing. I think, you know, whether you like Trump or not, I just not vote for him. They're tired of it. He's under so many investigations. Tired of the. I mean, he's not really talking about policies. He's still talking about it with companies about this and this and conspiracy theories. Marjorie just got banned on Twitter because she was. Aren't we tired of it, though? You bring that, like Clinton, to be honest, like bringing Hillary Clinton back into 2020. I'm tired of hearing the backlash about her and all this stuff.
Well, it's a personality politics system where if somebody plays the saxophone or Trump is very, seems honest and speaks up, we don't tend to look at what they're saying and the context. We just think, oh, this person's black and, oh, they're cool. Oh, they're white and rich and cool. And I think they play us, and then eventually we find out that they're pro-vaccine or that they're really, idiots, and it's too late. By then they've screwed up the nation and much of the world. So hopefully he doesn't win because he's really disingenuous and doesn't seem that intelligent or caring or empathetic, Hopefully someone else can win.
We'll just see what happens in 2022. Hey, you guys, it's great to hear you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Joe. It's amazing that you're getting along. I don't know what up this. I mean, maybe the world is a better place.
Yeah, I think Joe would admit that I get the credit, right, Joe? No? Yeah, it's Hotep hard work. He's been diligent and, he's compromised. I love these liberal guys. He's on steroids.
Hey. He's on steroids.
Wow.
He's
all right. Amazing. See what happens when I'm not on the air anymore?
Peace. Yeah, yeah. We worked it out.
Wow. Yeah.
Joe is speechless.
Brian,
like,
you were good. Yeah, but you were good by not being around.
I know, right? How was Blog Talk when I'm not around? Any shows lately?
Anything happen? Shit.
Is it really?
Same shit. No. If you disagree with anybody that's on the it doesn't matter what side of the aisle they're on. If you disagree with them, they might listen to you for a bit and then they'll mute you. The more radical conservatives versus the more radical liberals, it's the same. But that's just the way it is. Black Talk Radio is a vanity forum. It's not real radio. So people who want to talk and really don't have anything much to say that's backed up by evidence, they have the opportunity to do so on Blog Talk Radio and the rest of the other vanity programs. So, if you want people to call in, then let them talk, even if it's against your viewpoint. If your viewpoint is so good, you can defend it. Don't hang up on them. Just defend it.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Blog Talk does have some pluses, even though they block all my shows. I don't know why. But the good part is that it's very difficult to get on major media to have a show. so right. Everybody and their aunt can have a show. But what happens is there are actually some good shows like what you're doing. There are one or two really good shows that stand out even amongst the majors. So, you know, you have to sift through. I sift through maybe 100 shows every few weeks and end up at maybe one or two. No, that's not true. I end up at about three or four. But, yeah, there are a few. But for the most part, people aren't open-minded at all, you know.
Okay. I value you guys as great, the both of you guys. It's so disturbing how you guys are wrong and I have to work that out in my own way.
Yeah, well, we talked about it before we got on the show, and we said we ought to stick together just so Brian will blow his top.
Yeah,
that's my mental illness.
Well, I'll be on tomorrow. Thank you, Holt. I will be on tomorrow at regular time, 7 a.m. Tomorrow. Wait a minute. What is tomorrow? Hold on, guys. Tomorrow, I got a very special day. I guess with a very special lady that I'm with. I would be going to Arizona tomorrow, and I don't know if I'm going to be on the radio. I don't think so. I will be back Friday. How's that, you guys? Be back Friday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I will be, and that's a promise. I will be back. I just want to send some messages right now. I'm looking at Facebook for the show. Hey, girls, I want to give a shout-out saying thank you. These are real messages. They're saying, one girl just says, I think Cindy's best. One girl says, that bitch doesn't know anything about it. Cindy is off-limits. Cindy is pure. One girl says, I don't know Cindy, but she sounds lovely. Okay, I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to leave it at that. Those are real messages on Facebook. All right, you guys.
Cool.
Don't you agree? Cindy's the best.
Yes.
Thank you, Hotep.
She's been with you for a number of years.
Yeah,
so.
Haven't she? She's been with me for a while. What's wrong with her?
She needs to get on meds.
I know.
What's wrong with you? Come on.
I love her, so I hope she doesn't get help to find out what's wrong with her. All right, guys. I'll see you guys.
She ends up with Joe.
Oh, my God. myself.
That would really blow Brian's mind.
I would have gotten to my head live on the air.
All of a sudden, if she's with me, Brian would go, okay, you want to see mental illness? Right in the front forehead.
Yeah.
Right in the temple. Bang.
I'll go Kaye on you. All right.
Yeah. All right. See you guys next time.
All right. See y'all.
See you later. Thanks, okay. Bye, Joe. And we're out with Brian and Hammer Jackson Show. And again, this, Donald Trump saying it wasn't me. Here's the Donald Trump. Maybe he has something. See you guys Friday.
You made her catch you? I don't know how I let this happen. The girl next door, you know? I don't know what to do.
What do you?
All right. Honey came in and she got me red-handed, tripping with the girl next door. Picture this, we were both butt naked, banging on the bathroom door. How could I forget that I had given her an extra beat? All this time she was standing there.
Oh, you pretty girl, man, I'm just your villa. Press a sun with this all of your train on your pillar. You better watch your back before she turn into a killer. Let's review the situation, that's the cause of pain. To be a true player, you have to know how to play. If she say a night, can be so say a day. Never admit to a word where she say. I used to claim I used to love baby,
yeah,
no way.
Right.
But she
got
me on the counter.
Wasn't me.
You saw me hanging on
the
sofa.
Wasn't me.
I even had her in the shower.
Wasn't me.
She even saw me on camera.
Wasn't me.
Saw the marks on my shoulder.
Wasn't me.
Heard the words that I told her.
Wasn't me.
Heard the screams getting louder.
Wasn't me.
She stayed until it was over. Honey came in and she got me red-handed, creeping with the girl next door. Picture this, we were both butt naked, banging on the bathroom floor. I had tried to keep her from what she was.
flex. I never used to see you make the jig a low flex. I thought you used to favor you in a the complex. Seeing is believing, so you better change your sex. You know she have a bring a whole lot of things from the past. All the little evidence, you better know the math. Quick by your hamster, no open task. But if you back a gun, you know you better run fast.
But she caught me on the counter.
Wasn't me.
Saw me banging on the sofa.
Wasn't me.
I even had her in the shower.
Wasn't me.
She even caught me on camera.
Wasn't me.
She saw the marks on my shoulder.
Wasn't me.
Heard the words that I told her.
Wasn't me.
Heard the screams getting louder.
Wasn't me.
She stayed until it was over. Honey came in and she caught me red-handed, creeping with a girl next door. Stick to this, we were both butt naked, banging on the bathroom floor.
How could I forget that I had given her an extra key? All this time she was standing there, she never took her eyes off me.
Or Friday.